Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Holy shit, you made it. Episode 300, can you even believe it? We're doing the little pre-intro here, just me and Steve in the studio. Steve and I in the studio. We're not getting proper.
No, not at all.
This is 300 episodes, man. Pretty incredible. We better fire off with a veteran shout-out and a thank you.
Yeah, so the vet shout-out we're going to do this week on this episode of 300, guy writes in, "Hey, what's up, fellas? I was hoping you can give a shout-out to his son's stepdad, Tim Webb. He was an Army vet who did two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he just lost his battle to cancer on Tuesday, and he's only 32 years old. He was an amazing guy, hell of a stepfather. The guy's going to miss him dearly, so we want to thank Tim for his service to this country and for being a great stepfather, and you know, we can't thank you enough, and we hope you're in a better place right now." So, also, want to touch on, this is 300. You guys made it through 300 episodes. I and Kurt and everybody else here at the Working Class Family would just want to send a special thank you to every single vet that listens, every vet that we've shouted out, even vets that aren't listening that could be listening. Just want to say thank you for your service to this country. We really appreciate what you guys do. We will keep doing shout-outs on each and every episode. We love you guys to death from the bottom of our hearts, and if you guys do have any more vet shout-outs, go to the contact page. There's a tab there. You can click that, and it'll send you a link. It'll go straight to my email. So if I don't get to it, it's on me, and I'll have to live with that.
That's right, and you're an asshole anyway.
And that's true, too.
But thank you all for your service, and thank you all for submitting the veteran shout-outs. And I know some of the trade show ones, the shorter episodes, we don't always do them, but the full-length ones, we try to at least get one on every single one. So, yeah, thanks for submitting them. Get them in there. Man, episode 300, dude. There's a lot to talk about. Let's knock some stuff out of the way, and then we'll get to some business. We have some new deals and some new announcements within our partners, so I think it's worth listening to on episode 300 for sure. First off, right now, as the timing, if you're listening to this in real time when it launches the day of, right now we have an Elite Archery and Respect the Game bow giveaway on a Ritual 33 and Realtree Edge camo. You just got to go to our Facebook or our Instagram and follow the directions there. It's pretty easy. And if you enter in Instagram, go to our Facebook and you can get a second entry there. And what we do, I think how we're going to do it, we're going to let it go a week. We're going to tally all the numbers. I'm going to do a random number generator, pick what number comment, whatever it may be. We might do it that way, or we might just like hand pick. And then if you're in there twice on Facebook and Instagram, that's two chances. Yeah. And then we're going to make sure that you did what we asked in the description on how to enter. And if you don't, we'll draw again. So make sure you do everything that we asked for. If you want to enter to win that bow, it's going to be as fair as possible. I think that's pretty fair. I had some people like at work, like, how do I get in? I'm like, listen, motherfucker, it doesn't do me any good for you to win it. Like people right. might like to prove that it's not rigged or anything like that, that it's all fair. It does us better if someone from another state that we don't know wins it.
Right.
Honestly, it does. Because it's like, well, I'm Working Class Boner. You ever heard of him? You know, it's the beauty of it. So
that's how I got this bow.
But who wins it is just who wins it. So make sure you hop on that. Also, another giveaway. So if you're listening to this the day it released, keep an eye out. It's not even out yet on social media. We are doing a Lone Wolf Custom Gear stand giveaway. That hasn't even been done yet. So you all seen how badass those stands are, and they are. They're top of the line. It's the last stand you'll ever need. We're doing a giveaway on our social media. So if you don't follow us on Facebook or Instagram, you might want to jump on there and follow that up, because there will be a giveaway. We might run that for 2 weeks because those stands are still coming in. And when they come in, you'll get one fresh off the press. So two big, big, big giveaways. A new bow and a new stand are the two main tools you need to fucking chase in there and get a big whitetail.
One lucky bastard could win both.
What if that happens?
Dude, and they would be set up. And if they don't kill a giant,
if that happened, I would just fire you and have them be a full-time host on the show.
Why not? If they're that good at, if they're that good at being lucky, just think how good they'd be at, you know, doing regular shit.
Doing everything else.
Yeah.
So
that's huge.
Keep an eye out for them. Also, new news. We just sent out the roster to everyone that made Team Hang and Bang. And it's like one of those things. It's like, if you didn't get picked, it's not because we didn't want you on the team. We filtered it out, just kind of, well, we went through a ton of applications. Austin Chandler, Ross Bigger are the team captains there and helped filter through a lot. A lot of it was, if you didn't make it and you're wondering why, it's we probably thought you had something good going already and figuring that our team would limit you from doing your own thing. Honestly, that's a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And we just don't know what we're doing yet with it. So we didn't want a bunch of people on and like not know what we're doing and not know how to manage it yet. So more can come in time, and we're going to reach back through if we decide we're going to add, or we might even make it smaller. But if we do add, we're reaching from the applications that were already submitted. So it's no hard feelings. We sent out those emails, and just more is going to roll out from here. And we're all figuring it out as we go. So thank you, everyone who applied. We love you all, and there's no hard feelings. Also, another news thing coming down the pipe. This is the one to update, right?
Yeah.
The shoot, we are working on July 20th for the shoot. We're working on a new spot, a bigger spot. And if we can't pull it off, it's going to be where we've had it, which has worked out great. It just limits us to 100 people. I'll see if we can stretch it to 150 people. That might be pushing it, mm-hmm. but we might be able to make it work. We got to talk to some landowners and see what we can work out, because we want to do camping. We want to be able to grill out and have some drinks after we're done shooting and all that and have some fun. So we're going to put it out when we find out. It's a really busy time for us right now, but just stick with us. We'll talk about it on the podcast. We find more, we'll make posts about it on social media. So we appreciate everyone's interest. To the business.
No other news?
Well, yeah, there's lots of news. Oh, okay. But it's like, what?
I don't know. I was just, man, I was getting excited, dude. I was like, man, hopefully.
I mean,
more.
There's a lot of other news, but stuff that's going to come out in time. I can't launch everything now.
All right, just checking. Special episode.
Yeah, there's more coming. And if you listen to the show, you know what's coming down the pipe a little bit. You know a little.
Teaser.
The podcast is presented by Scent Crusher, scentcrusher.com. Talk about them all the time. If you're not familiar with the Scent Crusher products, get familiar. Ozone is the new, it's not even a fad. I don't even know how to explain it. It's the ultimate tool in scent elimination technology, or scent elimination, whatever you want to call it. It helps us, and we stink no more when we go to the stand.
It is also good in your life. So it's a conversation starter for bad Tinder dates and a cover-up smell. So speaking from personal experience, but, you know.
That's true.
So I throw it out there.
Podcast is also brought to you by HHA Sports. We love our HHA stuff. From the Optimizer Kingpin single pin sights to the Virtus Aero Rest, top of the line stuff, lifetime warranty. You can't go wrong with it. Check out HHASports.com. Also, North American Whitetail Championship. They have a badass championship going on right now, and you sign up and you get a whole package full of stuff. You get a Tacticam. If you've been thinking about buying a Tacticam and all these goodies, you sign up and use the code WCB25. Sign up there. You get this package of goodies. Once you're entered, you don't have to kill a big deer to win stuff. There's monthly drawings. They're giving away a turkey hunt, I think, this month. They're giving away a deer hunt coming up in the next month or so. And they do those monthly drawings. And then if you buy partners of the championship, if you buy their gear and send in a picture of your receipt, they enter you in again for more drawings. So there's a lot of stuff to win. And the bucks that won last year, there's some big bucks that won. But first and second place for different regions aren't really giants like what you would think. There were some 120s, some 130s, and some 150s in there that took home some money and some prizes. So check them out, NAWTC.com. Also, Elite Archery. We're doing the giveaway on the Ritual 33. Our rituals are on the way. New rituals are on the way. I'm super excited about them. Check them out. They still have like the Impulse and the Options and the Tempo and all the good bows that they've put out. You can see them all in action on Respect the Game TV. Hell, even our Carbon TV series.
Oh yeah, and just freshly launched the Valor, which is a 28.5 ATA for lower poundage and shooters. And I was looking at that and I was like, interesting.
No, there's some badass stuff coming.
It's a cool looking bow.
That bow's a game changer, man, for a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of low poundage archers who are like, hey, I want to, you know, possibly get a teenager into elite, and it's like, well, I don't want
a young man
or a small man. You can still get elite. So they're looking out for everybody. It's a sick looking bow.
Also, where are we at? Lone Wolf Custom Gear talked about doing that giveaway. That stuff is going to be top of the line. And for the guys, I made a post this week for the guys bitching about the price of a setup. I don't think you understand. Some of you people like, and I will add, I'm sure that guy meant well by his comment and he didn't realize and he ended up deleting his comment. The Lone Wolf Custom Gear stand is priced at a price point for to be your only stand. You know, this thing is light. It is meant to stack on all in a super slim line setup. You can put it on your back. It works as a pack frame. You put your pack on top of that, and you can hike it in, get up where you need to go, hike out, doubles as a camp chair. It's the only stand you need. That's what it's designed for. This stand doesn't leave the back of your truck. It doesn't leave your back when you're hunting, especially in November when you're hunting that most recent sign that you found from doing your scouting. This is the hang and bang tree stand. Guys that are buying these $1,000 bows every year, you're going to skimp out. Like, I've done it for years. No more. Not fucking happening. This stand will be my go-to stand. It'll be the one in my truck. And I always kept a lone wolf in my truck anyway. You can see that from the buck I shot last year. There's a lone wolf in the back of my truck. But this is a lone wolf custom gear stand is a whole new level. Every inconvenience you are like, ah, fuck, I wish the stand had this. This stand has it. This stand is designed for our people, the hang and bang, the go-getters, the public land hunter, the guys who don't want to sit in the same spot every time. It's basically the opposite of how Steve hunts.
Exactly.
Stand.
Yeah, this ain't your ladder stand.
Yeah.
Your $150 ladder stand that you buy five of and then bitch about when one stand, and you're like, yeah, man, I wish the stand was on a different wind. Really?
We talk about this stand on episode 300. We'll just let you listen. Also, podcast brought to you by Big Time. Check out the app. We're on the app. The podcast is on there. You can do the buck brunch. If they don't allow mineral in your state, you can get the mineral. All sorts of goodies coming down the line from Big Time. Check them out, bigtime.com. Victory Archery, Hunter's Blend Coffee. Working Class is the code for 10% off Hunter's Blend. Accommodation Creative, they've been helping us crank out a lot of our video work on carbon and logos and all that fun stuff. We've rambled enough. We should let them get to the episode here.
Yeah, you should. Enjoy. It was a fun one.
Lot to learn. Hopefully some laughs. And we hope you enjoy. Thanks for sticking with us. 300. Have fun.
This is Sparta! Keep this shit 300.
I'm Chase Ralston with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
Time once again for another rendivorous episode of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 1600 Buckslayer Place. Beautiful Buckatorium, lovely Sherrard, Illinois. Zip code, who cares anymore? But this is episode, and I cannot believe I'm saying this because I can't believe I'm still on this show, 300.
Well, you've been fired a couple times, so.
And I can't believe I'm back. What
300.
Can you guys really not find a replacement for me? Is it that bad?
Yeah, you just do well, then you fuck up, then we got to fire you, and then you do well again, and you're back. So. Dude, we thought 150 episodes was like, dude, we're killing it.
We're doing shit, and now we're at 300.
Yeah, and we're sick of it. So 301 will be our last show. Thanks, everyone, for all the support. We're going to close her out.
I think you guys only bring me back because you don't want to pay me unemployment. You're like, dude, we don't want to pay him for not doing shit.
We're waiting until you get to the age where we can just offer you out on an early retirement.
Yeah, I already don't do shit. You're not going to pay me to not do even less shit.
Episode 300.
Holy shit.
Man, Steven is in studio. Eric is in studio.
Eric Lee and Kurt Tiss.
Thank you. And Cody DeQuisto is in studio for episode 300. What's up, dude?
Happy to be here, man. Pumped to finally get out to the place and see it, man. This is pretty cool.
This is the first time you've been in a real podcast studio.
This is the first time.
You're like a trade show podcast connoisseur.
Did you expect this whole studio set up like this?
Yes and no. I mean, I knew you guys had a studio, but it looks sick, man. This is like what I envision my hunting trail looking like next year. It's going to be all... Yeah. Spaceship lights and just...
Oh, yeah.
Because we've got like a strip club going on
It
here.
Looks like a small-town strip club with a plywood stage.
These are probably the same lights they use for strip clubs.
Oh, it is for sure. But no, man, thanks for coming. I'm pumped about 300 episodes. We finally have you in a spot where we can just record and not worry about crowds and people working the booths and all that stuff. So it's kind of nice to just kick back. And relax. This is our first time we've been back in the studio since in a month.
Ooh, really?
That's the vicious show season.
Dude, for real.
The show circuit.
It is, man. It is a circuit. It's like going on tour as like a musician or something.
Yeah, it's weird, man. Every year, you know, it's like you come off of hunting season and, you know, I know me personally, I'm like hitting hunting as hard as I possibly can up until that, until they literally are like, Cody, we have to leave for ATA. Get the hell out of the woods. And then, you know, and then it's like, okay, you know, then ATA, and then after that, it's just like a blur until...
Yeah. You've been doing this for years.
Until now. Yeah, I remember working shows, you know, as like 12, 13 years old, just running around grabbing boxes and you know, doing whatever I could. I'd like climbing the climbers on the display poles like during the show and just kind of...
Well, we talked about when my dad bought those first two Lone Wolves. I think we even talked about it on a podcast when I was like 14, 15. You're like, dude, I was probably working the booth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was there for sure. Maybe I was, like, off somewhere else.
You're a cool guy in me somewhere. You're like,
yeah, it's like,
I already have a tattoo. Where's yours?
Hey, so for people who are unfamiliar, maybe someone's new to hunting and they're just tuning in, who are you? What company are you with? And what's the awesome – why are you here? Why are you here on episode 300, Cody? I really want to know.
That is a dang good question. I was actually looking around. I was going to ask you guys the same thing. Like, what the hell do you guys got me on here for? Like, what can I possibly give to this this group of
this fine program?
Of bangers.
bangers, bro.
I'm with Lone Wolf Custom Gear and XOP Outdoors currently. You know, we do tree stands, climbing sticks, kind of that cast aluminum, lightweight, portable, mobile sets for your, not only your mobile hunter, but, you know, even fixed possession hanging, climbers, you know, so all sorts of stuff.
For sure. Well, nice. We've done a couple podcasts at the trade shows. We did one in Ohio. Oh, hell, we did one in Iowa and one in Ohio. We got all tied up at Wisconsin, but we've kind of touched and feathered and left people on some cliffhangers and stuff. But maybe what we do is after you just did your like self-introduction, maybe we talk now about our partnership between Lone Wolf Custom Gear and Working Class Bowhunter. There are some people like curious about it, and I don't really know what else there is to say, but maybe we can go into a little detail, and then we'll kind of just branch off and fire the entire episode off from there. But I guess we talked last summer about working together, doing something well before the big Cody DeQuisto's the coolest dude on the planet podcast.
Dude.
Pattern.
No way.
Dude, and, he's cool a guy in us right now, man.
Yeah, he is. So we were planning on doing a show forever, dude. We can never get it done. And we're like an hour apart from each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the bridge is out, though, so you can't.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
There's only one bridge to get here.
Yeah.
It's only one way. Yeah.
We end up making it happen eventually, and then... You know, you launched Lone Wolf Custom Gear ATA time frame. I know well before, but
Custom Gear's been around, but like you know those products were that was the first time they were seen was ATA.
Yeah, so from there we just kind of it seemed like ATA was when you started to get to know our crew a little bit. Like we started talking on the regular. What's so funny? What the fuck?
No, because there was that video where it had been a long day for me. Everybody, we're doing a live with you, and someone's like, "Steve, you spacing out, and you're dropping like mad banger deer knowledge." And I'm sitting there, I had not eaten, hearing shit, and the food was hitting my stomach, so the energy and the enzymes and all that, whatever the hell was going to go on.
There's just birds chirping in your head.
Yeah, dude, I was out in La La Land. It's like, bro, you even paying attention? I'm like, yeah, don't put me on blast like that. Of course, I wasn't.
Well, from that show, and then we kind of just. I don't know. We have a similar mindset on the industry and hunting and all that. And it kind of just like it makes more sense for us to work together than not work together with how far apart we all are and just our styles and I guess thought process on certain things. That's kind of really all I need to say. I don't really know where we go to discuss a partnership further than that, but unless you have anything to add.
No, yeah, I just think it's I'm excited for it. It's nice to, you know, work with likewise people, you know, guys who are, you know, getting it done in the field and, you know, eager to learn and hunt more, but also, you know, relatable dudes that are kind of, you know, just, you know, ground level. So yeah.
Well, you and I talked a lot about just some phone conversations we've had about what we see as like a gap in the hunting industry as a mindset point of view and a style point of view and an age point of view even too. There's just a big void in the industry where everyone's like this kind of newscaster style of straight laced personality, and no one's like that in real life when you're in camp and stuff like that. It's just not how people are. It's worked that way in the past in the hunting industry, but it's not gonna work that way forever. And so I feel like that's where we had like kind of like common thought on where we need to tackle the future of hunting and how the industry is portrayed and people who are influencers, air quote.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's a gap. I think that the predominant, you know, maybe, you know, man or woman in our industry is a little older. And it's overlooked, man, like, you know, kind of that different walk of life. Like there's a lot of, you know, skaters, weightlifters, like, you know, a lot of people that are in other hobbies that are super passionate about deer hunting, and there's a lot of you know, a lot to go around in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. See, and that's we've touched on this before, but that's one of the reasons why I reached out to Kurt when through a mutual friend of ours, Jordan. I found Kurt on Twitter. I saw this dude with gauges and tattoos holding deer. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't think people like that did that. You know, I'm cool with that because I grew up with a lot of guys that, you know, we were all getting tattoos at 17 in someone's basement and stuff like that. And it definitely broke the mold to me where I was like, you know, I was looking at when I was first watching it was like the Drurys and Ted Nugent's and the Bone Collector guys. So, you know, you're looking at these guys and then you see a tattooed guy. It's like, okay, this is something different that piqued my interest. And then you got a guy like you, too, who's tattooed gauges and things like that. And it just... I'm not saying it's breaking the mold because there are people out there like that, but it's just the guys that are out in front aren't looking like that, right? So it's something, yeah. It's something new and exciting. And I don't know, man, it's cool. Like see a bunch of the guys walking around some of the trade shows and things that we did, just tatted up, and they'll show you pictures of monsters that they killed. And it's like, dude, this is awesome. You know, it's, you don't have to look a certain way to appreciate deer hunting. And it's awesome that everybody can get together and, you know, now,
that's what we were at. We went to Dave and Buster's at the Wisconsin show, and like the Prairie Storm boys are like, "You guys don't even look like deer hunters." I'm like,
as I said,
I was like, "That's a good thing, though." I think because I don't look like a deer hunter, I might appeal to someone that never thought about deer hunting, and
right?
Might be like, "Oh man, I kind of want to check that out." Like it opens up opportunity to get more people involved if you don't fit that straight, clean stereotype of what you think is a deer hunter. I don't know. There's something to it, at least.
I think so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yep, for sure.
Right on.
Dude, he's cool guy in us on our own podcast.
He is. He's
yeah,
very
bro.
Cool
yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, totally,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah, dude, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I got to go.
I didn't want to like, hey, what he said.
Yeah. Right, I hear you. But no, anyway, we're working together. You can see Cody's really excited about it, so that's cool.
Yeah, dude, he's super stoked right now. Man, we're so glad you're here, brother.
Too many spaceship lights.
It's... It's cool, man. Yeah, yeah, these lights.
Dude, Cody lost us.
All right.
Let's talk about Lone Wolf Custom Gear because we
yeah,
we
cool. Or whatever. Yeah, whatever.
We touched on it in detail at some of the trade show podcasts, but I don't feel like we did it enough justice on what it actually is and what it actually can offer. And then I also think that people are confused on Lone Wolf. Well, there already is a Lone Wolf. What about XOP? Lone Wolf Custom Gear, I think there's like, I think it's
confusion.
People are getting it, but I feel like there's a little confusion for people who don't dig into that stuff as much as they should.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, and rightfully so, it is kind of confusing. So you have to, you know, if you look at the whole spectrum. So, you know, my old man founded the company Lone Wolf in 1984. You know, it was a passion of his, deer hunting, and he started to, you know, kind of tinker with stands and you know, do his own designs. You know, it was your typical, American entrepreneur, like, you know, your success story, if you will, started it out of the tiny little 2-car garage in the backyard. You know, my mom actually thought of the name. It was this, down home grassroots company that was, you know, he built that name throughout the years at these like consumer shows and just, you know, year in and year out. But so, you know, he founded that company back in the early 80s, brought it up to what it is today. In 2006, so a lot of people think the company was sold. It was not sold. There was a licensing agreement that was issued to use the name Lone Wolf for tree stands. And what Dad did was sell his patented tree stands. So, you know, those were patents from the early 90s that ran their course in about 2014. That's where companies like XOP came into play. So in 2014, when the patent was up on that original casting, you've seen a lot of other tree stand companies kind of get into that market, like Millennium, Leverage, Ameristep. So Field & Stream made a cast stand. Now that it was available, it was becoming a little bit more popular. Well, cast is a different, different bird altogether. It's different than expanded aluminum and welded great stands that have been around. So a lot of companies were having a little bit of trouble with their cast design. So XOP was coming up as a tree stand company and actually contacted me as well as the old man to kind of do some design work with them and kind of, you know, get them off their feet as far as a cast stand goes, you know. So the mission with XOP was to, you know, provide that Lone Wolf quality, you know, a lifetime warranty, cast aluminum stand, all the same great features and more for and a more affordable price, you know. So that was kind of the idea behind the XOP. So you see XOP start up. When I walked in the doors at XOP, the last thing I was going to do was reinvent the wheel from an already, you know, great tree stand. So, you know, we did little things like, you know, the patented I-beam, you know, the heat-treated steel buttons instead of the old plastic, you know, bigger cam straps, the dual-action seat cushion, 6-point offset bracket, more offset capability in a tighter locking position, quick connects with multiple slots for different degrees of angle. So it was a lot of little things, you know, when added to a great stand, made it like a really awesome stand, you know. So with that being said, you know, XOP has got some great products, and I still do design work with them to this day. But we always did have it. You know, it was always there, even in the early XOP days. You know, we still had the name Lone Wolf, and we still always intended to do something.
Owned it. You owned the name Lone Wolf. That is your guys's.
Yes, owned it
since '84.
Yep, still do. It's a family. It's a family name. So,
and to be just to, so everyone is clear, you sold the licensing to what Lone Wolf Tree Stands is. That's all that was.
Yep.
So the company didn't sell just the licensing agreement for them to sell the stands.
Yep. So yeah, if you notice, that's all. Lone Wolf Tree Stand sells is tree stands.
Like they can't do a ground blind or anything like that?
Nope. So it's just tree stands. And, you know, a lot of their designs, you know, were old designs of dad's from from prior to that, and still are to this day, you know. So still great stands, but you know, the world's changing. You know, we're moving. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you've seen these innovations from XOP, and you know, this stand, you know, was impacting the hunter. Now, you know, you come into this new era almost where, not a new era, but a full circle. I think it's happened with a lot of things, but the mobile game and mobile hunting specifically and all these popular topics right now, for whitetails has started to come back real heavy.
Mm-hmm. And it's blowing up right
but
now.
But it seems like it's always been, it is blowing up for sure.
Because it wasn't really ever talked about before. I mean, people brought it up, but not
well,
like...
Well, I think, yeah, it wasn't talked about like in the masses like it is now, but it right. was always, like, in my opinion, the most effective way. That shit that Cody, you and your dad have been doing forever, it's hunting that me and my dad have been doing forever, mm-hmm. killing deer. It's stuff that Eric, you've been doing since you started. Steve, what's up? But it's not... To guys that have been in the game, it's not new. But right. to a lot of people, it's the craze now because they discovered how effective it is on a... mainstream level, I guess.
For sure.
Yeah, well, I think it's a lot, you know, with today's day and age and you know, you got marketing and you got guys doing certain things and it's seen more. You know, I mean, Dad was very successful back in the day, well, and still is as far as the hunting wise goes, so people seen that and, you know, related to that and like, oh man, well, he's, you know, he's real successful and he's shooting a lot of big deer, you know, and the stand that he designed back then was a stand that he needed, you know, to do what
he wanted to do.
What he wanted yeah. to do in the deer woods, you know, right. and he needed that. You know, it's cliche, but I've always, you know, I really think that thought rings true, and it's, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. That's what it is in a nutshell. You know, when
for
you
sure
got
is.
When you need something, you know, an active mind starts thinking of ways to, you know, satisfy that need. So. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what's happening now with the new custom gear products. Like, so, you know, you look at a guy like Dad who started hunting with a plywood tree stand and completely revolutionized the game with these technologies like cast and his leveling and his strap system. And then you look at a guy like me who I started out with that. So,
right.
So innovating on that is a whole different game, you know, and now we're,
right.
We're 35 years later, and you see these things like it can always be done. And, you know, I knew, you know, the industry was in need for some serious tree stand innovation because, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, what we were doing with XOP was great. But with the mobile craze, you know, coming up as big as it's getting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been hunting with a stand like the one we just came out for 5 years.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where like now it's like, okay, you know, I think, you know, people are wanting
this is the time to right. do it.
This right. isn't, this is a need now, you know, before right. it was, you know, I guess I didn't really know people were getting that crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I wasn't out there and, you know, now that I'm kind of out there seeing what people are doing. So, you know, the innovation on this new product from what was already, in my opinion, the best tree stand in the game.
Oh, hands down.
Is just, you know, it is exactly what we wanted.
Well, let me, right. I want to touch on that and something that's going to be convenient for me because I'm lazy when it comes to carrying stuff in.
I mean, it's just facts.
This is facts. And so this
science,
is huge.
Bro.
So when you go to the DeQuisto series stand that was at some of the trade shows, it is now set up to where the sticks are going to lay flat and you can put a backpack on there. I mean, I don't know if you're one of those guys who's like, I don't need to take a backpack because I only take this, this, and this out there. Like, you know, don't be that jackass. But the fact that you can have the way that you can set a backpack up on the stand and put the stand and your backpack on there where it's going to be convenient to move that in.
So convenient.
And get in there. I'm like, that is less, you know, shit that I have to, like, I can literally hold that and be on my phone while I'm going into the stand. Because if I know I'm too far out where I'm not getting cell phone signal, I'm not moving any further and I'm setting up a stand right there. That shit's huge for me.
Well,
I don't know. Your results may vary, but that's what I'm all about.
Well, it's taken this setup that, I mean, because I think I watched an interview online. It might have been on your guys' channel. You said like, there's been more big deer kills out of your guys' style of stand than probably, well, it's almost, you could call that for sure. You could probably claim that because
for sure,
almost
bet.
Every big deer I've ever killed is out of a lone wolf.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, yeah, there's giant deer being killed out of other stands, but when you look at a stand that was designed for an aggressive style hunter, and you look at the impact that Lone Wolf as a brand and as a tree stand company has made on the hunting industry for the past 35 years, it's just, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, there's so many other stands sold, but it almost, you know, it's just like, you know, maybe a more serious guy is going to gravitate toward a little bit more serious of a stand, I guess, you mm-hmm. know, in the evolution sake of hunting. You know, now a lot of, I've talked to people at the shows, oh, you're biased, you know, you just hunt that. Well, I've went before, you know, just to have an honest point of view at everything, and have tried other tree stands. I've mm-hmm. hunted out of other tree stands. I've tried
It's benchmarking for your business. You're going to buy the competition and try it.
You almost have to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to see what's going on. But you know, I mean, hands down, a lot of the other stuff on the market is a derivative of what you know, Dad did in the first place. But the cast, you know, being that cast player. It's been no question that Cass has been the,
Cass is king.
Yeah. Until now. You know, now we're, you know, we've gone above and beyond that. We have a lighter stand that's specifically designed for transporting, for mobile use, you know. Mm. So, like you mentioned, Steve, I mean, the frame pack feature on this stand, the biggest hiccup, I think, with any mobile hunter, or especially nowadays with how big the media has gotten and how big shows have gotten and what people are doing, there's more shit being taken out in the woods with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
for
mean,
sure.
Whether that's, you know, Steve, your bag of lunch and your television to watch wrestling on,
or old school handheld TV,
or your film equipment, or your extra clothes, you know. So it was always like, okay, oh, here's my stand, you know, here I'm putting my sticks on it, you know. Man, shit, where do I put my backpack? Or like, let me strap it over here, strap it over there.
Well, so that's what I always did, where the stand. The platform where that goes against a tree, I always put the straps around that. Yep. Well, then you got your stick sticking out. Yep. You got four sticks on below that, so your backpack's sticking out 3 feet.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, throwing you off balance.
Catching everything on the way out, too.
Oh,
well,
sure.
Now you got, you know, I mean, the biggest thing was getting rid of the, you know, climbing sticks are bulky, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, the cheaper ones have the fixed position V-brackets as well as, you know, even... a Lone Wolf or an XOP with fixed position V brackets or pivoting V brackets, but not fully collapsible, if you'd say. It always added for just kind of a pain for stacking. You know, you're coming out, like you said, you're coming out from the body. That's weight coming off. You know, that's actually making it seem
getting
heavier.
It farther away from your body.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, now, you know, even with these new sticks made out of 3/4-inch material. When you stack these on there, I mean, you're literally, I mean, with your four pack getting up 20 feet, your entire tree stand profile is 2 inches.
Dude, it is.
I mean, it's
so
insane.
Damn impressive. My dad came, Papa Dave, came to the Wisconsin Classic, and I had you give him a rundown, because my dad's been obsessed with those Lone Wolf stands since we bought them in 04, 05, whenever they were. When he saw those sticks stack up onto that stand and how flat it was and compact,
mm-hmm.
I know my dad was like, oh, shit.
I'm sure he didn't pull his checkbook right there and buy two immediately.
You know, he probably would have, but I told him to back off a little.
But it's Back up, Dave.
I mean, what's like the full setup weight? Because I think that's, right now people are concerned with weight.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the biggest, I mean, you know, obviously the trend nowadays is getting, you know, it's like these race car drivers. Now, anywhere you can cut an ounce or you know, and all that. So, I mean,
100 weight, pounds equals a tenth.
Yeah. Weight.
Really?
Weight was a big factor, but also we did not want to be, and one thing I really didn't want to do is chase some mythical weight and have a stand that wasn't huntable or functionable.
Because you need it to function what it's for.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, there are stands out there. It's just like these guys saddle hunting with screw and steps. Well, okay, you know, my setup weight is 1.5 pounds because I got two steps and a harness. And okay, good for you. That's not what we're talking about. That's a whole different system. So, you know, there's stands out there that I think are advertising, you know, 5 or 6 pounds, but I mean, you're talking super narrow, you know, no adjustments, loud, small seats, very small seats. So
kinda
like
almost chintzy in a way, you know.
Yeah,
and dangerous.
Yeah, and you're taken away from huntability. So even with like the climbing sticks too. So, you know, it would have been very easy to take a stand or take a stick and just shrink its size and be like, oh, here's your, you know, I can make a fucking stand as big as this phone. And say, hey man, it weighs 6 ounces, you know. But
for a mouse,
it's not gonna do you any good. So, like right. even you know the climber sticks per se, you know. I mean, we're at, I think the full stick or the full stick now, the 3-step, 33-inch stick is 2.3 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, but you have. You still have that longer separation from the tree mm-hmm. than a lone wolf does. You have a longer step than your original lone wolf does.
And this end of the step like curves up. I love that.
You have the curve into the step. We have a roomier footbed. The actual footbed of the step itself is twice as thick as a lone wolf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so there's integrated hand grips on the actual stick
Dude,
itself.
That won it over for me right there because I always grab the stick and it's slick usually. So, and there's some trees that's just the comfortable way to grab the stick. And so when I saw that, that was one of those little inconveniences I always put up with. And then now that it's cut in there, I'm like, damn, like this thing's luxury. It's a Rolls Royce of stands, man.
Yeah,
it's like a pistol grip.
And well, and you're, kinda. You know, so that's the thing, you know, it was getting, the main goal was to get the weight down. And, you know, could we make those sticks apple to apple steps with apple to apple V brackets and all that? And make them smaller and get sub 2 pounds, but what would be the point? Then you'd have a shit light stick,
right?
You know, we want to keep huntability there as well. So you know, you have the full length stick that really does that, and then with the benefit, you know, even the you know now the stopping points being 100% aluminum, you know, you're not stopping on the head of a bolt or an additional component. Everything is real streamlined now. And the stick itself is made from 3/4 material. So, you know, you're smaller than a 1-inch stick tube, and then you're turning that on the side and you're stacking it together. So your profiles are just, I mean, just insane, you know. And the same thing goes with the stand. The stand, you know, actually is, you know, it has a full-size, you know, 12-inch seat on it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a, you know, a smaller of, or, you know, your standard, I'd say, tree stand size is like a 30 by 20, mm-hmm. right? You know, so we're like 19 by 28, which is not very far off of a standard, like full-size stand.
Yeah.
This stand is actually a little bigger than like your Assault or your Vanish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it actually has more room, you know, being at that, you know, true 7.5 pounds. So could we have made the seat tiny and got it to 6 pounds? And then could we have made it 15 inches wide and maybe got it to 5 pounds? Yeah, but...
Let's talk about though.
Guys...
Because the seat... If I don't care. So there's guys that say they stand up the entire time. I sure as fuck don't.
Hell no.
I sit down.
That's why there's a seat on there so you can sit down.
Because I can't stand up. I'll lock my knees and then I get fatigued. And I like to sit down in my stands.
That's when you wear the saddle, bro. You wear the saddle in the stands. You don't have to sit.
I mean, that is a benefit of it. But I like my full seat. I've hunted with some stands with some tiny seats. And it's fine. But I do like not a huge platform, but the platform, the size you're talking about, because I feel it makes me feel like I'm stealthy rather than sitting in there in a recliner. That's just like my deal with
stands.
Those
big stands are nice, though. They're just
they are nice, man,
move around.
But I like to feel like I'm tucked in and just like up against, you know what I mean?
Well, and that's where it comes into like, you know, what setup you're in. You know, if you're in, you know, if you're setting a stand that you're never going to move, and that you're going to hunt every year, and that's just like a permanent set, well, then, yeah, you probably wouldn't want to take this stand that was designed to transport and be mobile with and hang it there and leave it, you know? Mm-hmm. But then you might want a little bit bigger, more cushy seat, bigger platform. So it's all about, you know, it's all about tools for, you know, trying to get the job done and what you're doing at that moment. But, you know, so with the, you know, full size of the stand, all the increased capabilities. So a lot of people don't even realize that they get caught up on the frame pack and the sticks and how it works to be mobile. It has more adjustment in every avenue.
Mm-hmm.
It has 2 additional leveling slots for the platform. So and you know, oh, two, but that transfers over to the end of the platform, like, tremendously. So mm-hmm. you're talking more, greater increased leveling capabilities. That goes for the seat as well. Offset capability with the new offset bracket, that's a 6-tooth, and it's actually a 9-tooth. It's got micro teeth in it, so you don't get any slippage when you get really hard out and you get on those hard angles with one tooth contactor,
yeah.
or to them trees where you're really wanting to come back to center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got the in platform bow holder, everything as far as use and function has been upgraded. The old one kind of didn't work for a lot of the newer style bows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this one does. It's everything really came together great to make an all around extremely lightweight, extremely low profile, like, badass mobile setup.
Yeah,
kick ass, dude.
It, I think it's the shit. Let's talk about the coating a little bit on the stand.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yep. So the coating is we're calling it Silent Touch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a micro layer of it's technically rubber, I guess you'd say.
It's like a rubberized undercoating,
yeah,
kind of.
But it's not like a heavy, like a Duracoat, right. or like a bed liner. It's soft, so it feels good to the touch. It helps for noise, you know, mm-hmm. so it dampens everything and it decreases noise. Wear and tear, it holds up great, you know, for those metal-on-metal surfaces, even though, you know, we have the stacking bushings that really are designed and they put a layer, an eighth inch layer of rubber between any metal component. Even when the mm-hmm. seat comes down and locks into the platform, you know, with a full set, if you had six sticks on there too, your seat the contact points end up hitting right on those rubber grommets. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, everything is thought through as far as that goes. And, that's been really popular, that Silent Touch coating. I think it's going to do really well. And a lot of people are worried about the surface of the stand, you know, having a lot of wear, but everything is coated except for the surface of that top rung.
Gotcha.
Just to, you know, so you don't have any rubber on rubber with, like, your boots or whatnot. Mm-hmm, you get
right.
some nice
squeaking and shit like that.
Get some nice grip from the stand.
Shit like that.
but yeah, everything else is.
So let's do that. Let's talk about price a little bit. And
dude,
then
I'm gonna pop this off real quick.
All right, pop that shirt.
You don't have to wear the head. Oh, he's taking his hoodie off, everybody.
Oh, there
it is. Dude, it's getting warm in here.
Damn, dude, he's wearing the Coors Banquet shirt. That a boy. I should have picked him up. Man, the finest banquet beer. Oh, boy.
Now we're ready. He's in for the long haul.
He's getting heated up, man. We started talking setups.
Lord, can you make them pecs dance? Oh, he just
getting weird.
Not yet.
That's a weird question.
So I want to talk price and the future, because it is early for Lone Wolf Custom Gear. And I know I can only imagine, like, what you guys have done for tree stand hunters in general. You guys are... Like, you're the OGs of it. You and your dad are kind of the saviors.
The legends.
What we needed in this style of hunting. Let's talk price a little, because when we announced our partnership, there were some people that were like, well, that's not a working class price stand. But, and my thing was, well, if you buy a $1,000 bow every year, or if you're like me and buy a shit ton of $25 stands that add up, this is designed to be the stand that stays on your back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it could be the only one you ever need.
That's what a lot of people, I think, are missing. So, you know, I for the new process and what our price is, it's actually, I mean, it's pretty reasonable. I mean, you know, being that we're cutting this out of solid plating and...
Yeah, we didn't cover that. We said it wasn't cast, but...
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually cut from solid aluminum plating, and, you know, you got this...
Billet.
This material is a lot more resilient than cast, but... It allows us to get a little bit more free with our designs too, and all that goes. But so, you know, as far as price goes, when you look at this thing, a lot of people, like we were just talking about, with the size of the platform and what you're doing, for, like you said, today's day and age, that guys are spending $1,000 on a bow,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, I mean, maybe $800-$900 on a Sitka outfit or camo
clothing anymore. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you know, maybe those aren't your working class items, but a lot of things are getting up there in, you know, in price point. But I think you step into a whole nother realm when you're looking at a tree stand that you'll literally, your kids will use.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
sure.
you know, you got something that, for one, you're putting your life in its hands.
Yep.
You're 20 feet up in a tree, right? Or 10 feet or,
yeah, that's
or,
two, what I'm talking about.
Or 2 feet or whatever.
bring that up later. I want to talk about that.
Some guys get 40 feet up there. But anyway, so you got this piece of equipment, right? I personally believe the way that I hunt, a tree stand is the most important tool in my arsenal. I mean, I could pick up any bow and get it done with any bow, you know, and you know, I mean, it's the way you're hunting, but I think it's a very important part. It's, you know, that being one thing, you know, your life's in its hands. You know, you want a nice quality product up there. You don't want something that's going to rust over time or wither away or, you know, have issues with. And then, you know, something that is going to be around forever. You know, one of the greatest things that I hear that just fires me up is when I get guys that come to me at shows and they literally say things like, I bought a tree stand from your dad in 92 and I'm still using it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just fires me up. You know, I mean, and it's all the time. I mean, dude, there's guys out there still using some of the plywood climbers that he made before he even started.
That's hardcore.
I mean, that one I brought today is like, I don't know what year it's from, but that thing still looks like it's brand new.
And that thing would be early 90s, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's...
It does look brand new.
It's probably older than I am.
How old are you?
Well, 1990, but...
Oh, it's probably the same age as you, maybe, you know, a little, maybe a couple years.
That's just insane to think about.
But, so, you know, you're looking at something like that, you're looking at a serious investment, you know, you ain't going to rip this like an outfit, you're not going to go, you know, you won't need a new one.
You're not going to have the shitty metal that you buy on the cheaper stands that rusts off and then that grate pops up and it goes pop, pop every time you stand on the plate.
I guess they re-weld everyone for Kurt.
Eric's done that for me.
Or buying some of them, really cheap stands. Dude, I get nervous when I get in a cheap stand because I'm a heavy dude, but just feeling the stands that you got, you know, it's billet aluminum. I would feel very comfortable hopping in one of those just because it's not that great. It's cut out of that single piece. It feels like a solid piece
not
that I'm going to have forever.
You said it's not that great. You meant like the metal grade?
Oh, it's not that great. Yeah,
it's really not that great.
It's not that... different. It's total dog shit, but you know what I mean. Not in a bad way. It's not that shitty
banded metal.
Yeah, where it looks like chicken coop wire sprayed with like spray paint. You know what I mean? It's not. That's the grade I'm talking about.
But that kind of frustrated me. I know that probably frustrates you, but I'm like, man, we just covered all the crazy shit the stand can do. It's the stand that stays on your back. It's going to allow you to get there and do that hang and bang style hunting. It's your partner in this.
And that's what I was going to finish on. You know, I mean, this is your baby. You know, this is the one that goes with you every time. If you're a public land hunter and that's all you do, and you're hiking in every day. This is the one that's going to go in and out with you every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're hunting a private farm and you got permanent sets, well, you're not going to take it with you that time. Or, you know, if you're, you know, jumping around.
Or it's the one you keep on your truck and you have your go-to sets. And when you got to make a move on Big Boy from scouting you did late October, that's the one you take in.
And that's even on my private farms. My lone wolf is always with me just in case I get there and the wind shifted or something weird happened where I got to make a quick move.
Hey,
it's always there.
Kurt, pull up some music. I'll do a little commercial for Cody right now. How's that sound?
God, what kind of music do you want?
I don't know. Give me some awesome music that people would buy shit to.
I'm not prepared for this yet.
I'm not either. This is totally on the fly, isn't it?
Dude, I'm winging this too.
How long have you been thinking about this?
Like 3 seconds.
Oh my
God. I think of anything before I say it? No.
Or do it? No.
No.
No, not at all.
Absolutely not. Let's see if I can do this, man. If this is total shit, this is the working class bow hunter commercial, so it has nothing to do with Lone Wolf custom gear.
I got to find the music first.
Yeah, what kind of music should we sell these stands to?
Cody's got to pick a song.
Ooh.
We'll see here.
Dude, don't fear the Reaper because you're going to be the Reaper. That cowbell is every deer you're going to hit with a stand.
You digging it?
Yeah, I'm feeling that.
Well,
you feeling it?
Well, let me crack a beer.
It's royalty free, so I had it, so I didn't get pulled off.
So, good.
Come on, man, you gonna do this or not?
You ready? Yeah, you ready?
Waiting on you.
All right, here we go. Hey, you, the public land hunter, or the guy who wants to get on big deer? Are you complaining about how much tree stands cost? Are you like, bro, there's no way I'd pay $800 or $900 or anything for a tree stand? Listen, take those negative thoughts and take them to Iowa, because this is Illinois where we kill big deer. I mean, Indiana. I'm sorry. Iowa and Illinois. Just kidding, wink, wink. Everybody's free to buy these stands, but I'll tell you what. If you've ever wanted to buy an American-made stand made out of billet aluminum with all the features, bells, whistles, and low profile that you've been looking for, I'll tell you what. Lone Wolf Custom Gear has the stand for you. So, all you got to do is bust that checkbook out, cash, debit card, or, I mean, if you got some, like, a cool Harley that you want to trade, I mean, you might be able to work it out with the guys, but I'm just saying, fork out that money because this is going to last for generations and generations. You don't want your grandkids to think granddad was cheap and he didn't kill big deer because he bought some crappy, you know, Walmart stand. Buy a good stand. Buy a good stand from good people. This is Steve from the Working Class Bow Hunter telling you to buy Lone Wolf Custom Gear. I'm out. I mean, it's something like that.
Wow, man.
For
you. Dude, so let's start at the top.
That was literally...
No, the music was not on point.
I just Googled it.
The real question is, would you trade a tree stand for a Harley?
Well, he's... So that's what, right when the Harley thing dropped, I'm like, man, people are going to think this thing costs a lot more than it does.
Oh, God. I know. You said $900.
They bring in 83 Sportster, just yeah, a right. piece of shit. Dude.
Oh, man. That was good. That literally, for everyone listening, we did not plan that. That was just I pulled some music and...
That was totally...
Was on the fly.
That was totally on the fly.
I might have been drinking for a little bit, so just so everybody knows.
That was good, though.
Disclaimer, none of the statements that I have made are currently true that I know of or that anyone else, any legal mumbo jumbo. So don't take my word for
there's
it.
There's the infomercial. And stands are up. They went up for pre-order already. So
Yeah. The first like 3 seconds I think was solid.
And then it fell off the rim.
Hey, Public Land Hunter. Like it was, I was like,
the first 3 seconds.
Dude, you know you got someone sold within the first 3 seconds. Yeah. It's like a chick knows if she wants to bang you within the first six seconds of looking at you.
Is that a fact?
That's what they say, but
scientific fact.
I mean, 6 seconds.
Hey, hand me one of them mother's milk.
Yeah, well, I've been proved wrong before because the chick's like, yeah, you're kind of cute. And then I get to talking, and like 3 minutes later, she's walking away. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it's like she wants it. It doesn't mean they're committed. I don't know.
We're not to the. I still want to cover.
I don't know where you're going here.
The stands are for pre-order.
Yeah, they are. It's previously stated.
Talk about Steve's dating life now.
The pre-order did. It opened.
On,
a couple weeks ago. A few weeks ago. By the time this airs.
Yeah. So it opened last week, and the pre-orders for the full-length climbing stick, the compact climbing stick, and then the hang-on. We will have a couple products to follow in the next few months. We are working on a double step model that we are not sure of an exact release date or pre-order date. And we're also working on, ready for it, Kurt, drum roll.
Should I pull up a drum roll? And
the saddle platform.
Nice.
So that'll be coming to, it'll be modeled off the, some people might have seen the prototype, but it's modeled off that Assassin. The Assassin stand that got so popular when everybody got back into the saddle style of hunting.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be available as well, too, pretty soon.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
And then I know there's always more the way your brain works. You're always thinking of something. So I won't pry on you, and we'll just say look forward for another episode with the
Show. Definitely.
I mean, if you can leak something, leak it. But if you, I don't want to force you into that.
Yeah. So we'll,
do it.
I guess
no peer pressure, but do it.
The
it's our biggest episode to date. So I mean, you should do it. But don't do it if you're not comfortable. But you should.
I'll just
with their boys.
I'll just say this. You know. So I mean, we're taking a lot of this technology that we have in the stand, and we'll be putting in some other model stands as well. And there's even talk of some. More potential sizes and designs. So it's up in the air right now, but that'll be coming out soon, and we'll be definitely dropping it here. So
awesome, man! I can't wait. I can't wait to get this stand out next fall and really put it to work. And that's what Doug Mustache Doug's not here, but he named me Kurt Hanging Stands Guy last year. So I'm gonna live true to my name. And you
now
know
you only got to hang one stand.
That one year, I don't know how many stands I hung. Remember me talking about that? I hung and moved so many sets.
It's like 36, dude.
Dude, it was insane. And I'm like, man, if I had a setup. And then, you know, and I'm going to put them on blast. I don't give a fuck. Me and my dad bought the X stand backcountry kit or whatever the fuck.
Oh, it looked awesome out of the package,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, biggest piece of shit I've ever fucking put on a tree. I'm not kidding, man. Dude, I posted a video, and I don't ever do that shit.
When you got that thing, you were all hyped up because it was like a
dude. It seemed awesome.
You were
right.
Every angry white person on Yelp when you were doing that. It was hilarious.
I was hanging it on the
and
lease,
not banging it,
and I was hanging from my lineman's rope, and I just. I don't know. I got so pissed that I did a video of me hanging from the lines of draw. I'm up in the tree. I'm like, this fucking piece of shit. And I'm like moving the stand. I'm showing how loud and noisy the sticks are on the tree. It's like hollow aluminum. And when you pull it on the tree, if you don't have it right, it goes boom, 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 and it slides on the tree.
The great stuff.
Oh, man. I was hot. Hot. I'm still hot. Let's change the subject.
See, nobody wants to do that when they're actually heading in on like an ambush too.
No,
I mean definitely
not when you're in a fragile spot near like a buck bed or whatever, a meat dough bed or whatever.
Meat dough bed.
If you're on the buck ridges where they bed,
yeah,
you're on those key, low key ridge tops.
Dude, so today,
see, what you guys don't realize is bucks like a scenery too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they got to get a good true. View. Right? Well,
dude, you're a ridge top hunter, bro. Don't talk to me.
Cody ridge and I went shed hunting this morning, and. He picked up a lot more sheds than I did, needless to say, and I was starting to feel a little embarrassed.
Well, I got to out you on this one, Phil. I mean, Kurt's got a tactic. When we're getting into a zone that's looking like there's going to be some good sheds, he asks you a super deep question.
Yeah.
Dude, I swear.
Every time.
Dude, I swear, like, the second before he found that match shed, he was like, Cody, what's the meaning of life, bro? And I was like, and I literally like perked my head up like, what? Like, what did you just say? And he's like, oh, match that.
Congrats, dude, you just blew up. Thank God Kurt's married and has a kid due like any day because you just blew up his whole dating thing. Because when Kurt's trying to date chicks, he's like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And they ask a deep question. The next thing he's kissing on their neck.
You know, that's funny too. Sick.
Dude, you way to put Kurt on straight blast. Your career is over, son. I'm never going to shut up with you because if you ask me anything.
Well, this is what Cody did. So we fire off.
It's like hanging out with Irving all the time.
Yeah. Cody's like, hey, Kurt, how about you take that ridge since you got the binos and I'll be down here in the really good spot so I make you feel like an asshole when you're up. Climb around up in those rocks up there, Kurt.
Yeah, so he's your goat.
Yeah. Get up there. Get up there with the top.
I'm on the ridge.
Get that glass up there.
Hey, man, why don't you just shoot down this ravine and double back, and then you turn around. I found one. I'm like, I start walking the way. Is it a good one? You're like, just keep going.
Yeah, don't worry about this.
Cody,
I got this
Cody
spot.
Probably spots him, and he's like, oh, yeah, you should go over here, Kurt. Just go over there.
Dude, you know what's funny is you would, from talking to you, you would think you wouldn't get as excited over like just any little shed. But we turned into a bunch of little kids. It's like, oh, dude, little shed. And then we'd be like, there's another shed. It feels really sheddy out here.
There's one nearby. Well, we actually found that match. I found a hanger. It was a 6-point.
I love hangers.
We did a live
dude,
on
it was only my second hanger.
You only found two hangers?
Yeah, what, have you found more than two? How many hangers have you found? Am I behind?
Three.
Am I behind right now?
Three.
Yeah, bro.
I never
three
found hangers. One. That was the first hanger I've
dude,
seen.
Dude, I have not found a hanger. Am I playing the wind wrong or what the fuck?
Yeah,
man?
Definitely.
Dude, hangers are the best.
You're not hanging your trail cams in spruce.
Hey, shout out Tag and Bragg for making that shit show of an interview. We thought it would be funny with you.
No, but it was funny, though, because so we found those, and then we were going up this big like waterway and this big bluff.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the property we were on is super rocky. I don't know.
Where's that at again?
That's in Missouri.
Somewhere.
Area code 46253.
They're in Canada this morning.
In Nebraska.
Well, we're going up this washout, and I seen a beam of a shed. That's when I asked him that deep life question. And then I go up and pick it up, and it was one from last year.
Wait, you really asked that question?
Dude, this is
how we were like, we were in like the middle of like a really deep conversation. He was like thinking about it.
He's seen it. I was about to crest. He's like, oh, this looks like a good shed spot. Let me start some combo.
Dude.
Yeah.
But we did. So I found those, and I picked one up, and then I started to walk away and realized the other one, they were laying crisscrossed on top of each other.
Crisscross applesauce. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So we get to the top of this ridge, and we get this really cool spot where it's just it's like a big drop-off, and there's like the power line kind of cuts through there, and we're like, oh, we got to do a video. And we never actually said we were joking. We just did this video and put it on the Working Class Instagram. It looks like we put the shed and made it look like a bed spot, like this buck was bedded like on this huge bluff.
Just for the good scenery.
Wait, you guys scrape that shit off then, too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I was like, dude, what? How in the fuck is that scrape? I was watching. I'm like, dude, your mind was blown. The hell are these guys doing?
Yeah, and then we put the old set I found next to him. We're like, oh, dude, here's this. There's last year's set. Cody, you never come up here, do you? Yeah.
And then he takes off the other way. Like, dude, where the fuck is he? I had no idea it was a joke. I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
Dude, these guys are on one out here, man.
Well, we're like, after we did it, we're like, do you think people will think that like we were joking, or do you think we like purposely staged it?
Yeah, is that why you guys did the okay go like before?
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, see, I'm new to this whole thing, but it's so hard to do a genuine live video because you have to know you're going to do the live video, right?
Yeah.
So even like the hangar, it's like, oh man, there's a hangar. You can't be sitting there like live the whole time, right?
Right,
I mean, it's
right.
Like, so, well, you gotta.
When we did the live video for the hangar, we didn't go up and touch the hangar. Like, I hadn't even walked up to it yet.
No,
so
yeah, we didn't even mess with that.
That was as real as we could get it.
So our buddy Brandon Bequeath, he did that video. Did you ever share that when he sent it?
No, I forgot.
He did, dude. You got to share it. I'll show it to you. He did this video where he's like, man, he's like, you know, I put the miles in all day, because there's been some videos we watch, like, dude, these have to be staged. And people are, oh, look, like, there's a shed right there. And he's going, he's like, dude, I put in like 18 miles. And he's in his backyard, clearly. He's like, I put 18 miles in. And he's like, oh, there's a shed. And he just keeps picking up sheds. And he's doing like the selfie. And he goes, I don't know why it's so hard for people to find sheds. And you just see, like, he put all his sheds in a row for like 50 yards. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, man.
Well, funny. We picked up 7 sheds today, didn't we?
Yep. Yep,
damn, 7.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Well, I picked up 2. Yeah. I got Cody handed me one as a sympathy.
Oh, so you're a party, dude.
It was so funny. We were walking and I couldn't. I found this nice,
a big one too.
Yeah, this nice heavy set. And I'm like, Kurt, I can't hold all these, man. Take one of these, man. He's like, oh, I'm not taking your sympathy sheds. I'm
like, you fucking dick.
He gave me the biggest shed.
It was funny, man. Well, we thought it was from last year. The squirrels had chewed the base off of it, but it was it was this year's shed. It was a nice one. Big,
dude.
The common base G2.
Those squirrels are the devil, man. They are, man.
There's some big Arkansas bucks down there, aren't they?
Yes, yes. These things, man, I swear, some of these squirrels are the sizes of small cats. You know, I mean, they just, and you know, we were talking about it. What is it about these antlers, man? But they have a field day.
Yeah.
They get after them quick.
I've found sheds that have blood on the bases, and they're chewed, like the G2s are almost chewed off of them.
Oh, yeah.
That's how fucking fast. They must find them just like, oh, this is a fresh one. I'm going to go to work and just destroy them. It's a sad, sad thing, man.
Dude, I hate squirrels. This one wants to start squirrel hunting.
Well, that's the crazy thing is you can have one sitting there that's from last year and not even touched.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How the fuck does that work? Like,
it's almost just like it. We were kind of talking, do they smell a certain way and then some don't smell a certain way? Or?
Something's got to happen, I think, right before they drop, or one of those, like, calcium or something gets rich in them or something.
Like a different balance of calcium or
something? Yeah, it's got to be, because I've seen and I've found antler breaks that don't get chewed on at all.
Yeah.
And you would think those
like
would
a broken G2 or something.
Yeah. Or like, you know, we had a buck running around a couple years ago that was, he broke off his rack right after the brow time.
Mm-hmm.
So it had a whole half laying out there somewhere and found it like 2 years later, not even touched.
See, that's
like,
bizarre.
So I'm curious because I found a shed opening day about 3 years ago. It was the first time I got out. So maybe it was like October 5th. Barely chewed on. I mean, it wasn't big at all.
It's just weird because some you find that are old like that, and some are just there. You find little pieces of.
Yeah. So we should do some
places that don't have squirrels still too.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, so,
like Kansas, you're gonna find a shed 3 years later.
Dude, this place that I was at is rich in squirrels. I mean, dude, there's too many squirrels. You know what I mean? It's like the China of squirrels.
Think about this, and Cody and I were talking about this today. What if nothing ate antlers,
and if they didn't decompose, man? How nuts would that be?
They'd be everywhere.
It'd
be a huge problem. Like, so people would like, get impaled.
People, yeah.
The real question I have, like, my dogs love to chew on antlers. Do coyotes do that
shit? I've seen trail cam pictures of coyotes holding sheds.
They take those things and chew on them.
He just dropped the mic right there. That's a good
question.
Bro,
I've always thought about that when, I don't know, just tree stand thinking.
Dude, I bet you they do. Why would they not?
I think coyotes are too worried about, like, staying alive.
Yeah.
That they don't, like, just... Well, I know, because I've seen coyotes play for like 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah,
30
for
minutes.
Sure.
I've seen trail cam pictures of people post online of a coyote holding a shed.
Because my dogs are obsessed with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But see, they're the same way. I can lay out...
But you also hand your dogs a shed to play with, you know?
Well, no, yeah, but the thing is, too, like, talk about the squirrels, how they don't eat some or don't chew on them. I'll have certain sheds in my house that they will not touch.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you put if we took a shed out right now and put it out in a squirrel heavy area, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think those get eaten?
We need a couple of squirrels.
Is it an old shed?
I don't know.
Dude, we should
put whatever.
What kind of squirrel are we talking?
Dude, we're talking. What kind of sheds are squirrels? Bro, we're talking city squirrels. They'll eat anything. They're hungry. City. They're homeless squirrels, bro.
Hey, you know what would be interesting to
city
put
squirrels
out?
Are fed well. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, they're not hitting the feeders, though.
We need to do an experiment. We need to sacrifice a couple sheds, put a trail cam on them on video, put an old shed out, put a break, like a broken beam out, put the freshest shed, like cleanest, nice new shed we can with
a farm-raised shed, one of those stupid things.
Yeah, and then see which one the squirrel prefers, which one he goes to first.
I should check. I have three sitting in my yard right now. They've been out there for a couple weeks. I wonder if they're chewed on. And I should check that out.
In town.
Damn, question.
I think it's positioning, too, man, because if you get a...
Time's up.
If that... Well, time's...
time's up.
Yeah,
time's up, bro.
For sure.
Place is out.
For sure,
Dan.
For sure, time's up, but, like, if you find a shed that's... Tines up right next to the base of a tree, like in a wooded area versus out on a flat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And some therapy.
You know, yeah, if that squirrel's like safe, just chilling there eating all day, I mean, I'm sure it gets hammered.
That's
more.
A Steve
think
squirrel.
About think about this. Have you guys ever seen a shed? Because you guys said the bases were bit off, but have you ever seen like a main beam eating all the way through?
Yeah, dude. I got sheds in that pile that not all the way through, but are almost like.
Yeah, hanging on by like a little.
Well, and then there'll be like a G2 that's. You could, like, flick it, and the thing would fall off. It's so thin, they just don't eat all the way through.
Yeah, how many licks? Yeah. Like, not, like, how many licks to the center of a Tootsie Pop, but, like, how long does it take a squirrel to eat through,
dude,
like...
No time. You can find them with blood on them. They're fucking...
That's
G2's
what he just said, yeah.
Chopped off.
I'm bastards. Curious, like, how these little bastards with two teeth can eat that fast.
Like a beaver with a tree.
I want to bring something up. I got a lot of things I want to throw at you. I'm changing the subject hard right now.
That was a pretty long squirrel endeavor right there.
It was.
It's episode 300, dude. Episode anything 300. Goes.
It needed to happen.
Title this one, Sheds and Squirrels.
Yeah.
Coyotes.
I know we talked about this a little bit at the shows, but you're all over all these podcasts now, man. Like you.
Yeah, you're going to start your own or what?
No.
That's what our show's for.
No. Him and Byron Horton are going to have their own podcast.
It's called Fuck Working Class Bow Hunter.
called the White Collar Bow Hunter Podcast.
Easy.
Easy.
Yeah. That's more towards Byron.
Are you sick of him yet, or do you enjoy him? Or like, cause I feel
Byron,
like,
he's a good dude.
How dare you? Podcast. Leave Byron out of this.
Sorry, Byron.
Brian.
You know what I mean, though? I mean, I asked you a little bit at the shows, and you said you weren't, but I mean, well, now you're in the studio, and no one can hear you, so you can tell us.
Said I wasn't what?
You said you weren't sick of them.
Oh,
podcasts.
No, yeah. So, I mean, I think we touched on it a little bit. I never really, had the desire to get out and do any podcasts. And then a couple, buddies that I helped through some hunting situations were like, man, you know, you should get on there. And you know, talking with you and talking with some other guys that I've, been as guests on with them. It was kind of cool, you know. It was cool to get out, spread some information, some company, company info as well as personal stuff, and
yeah.
Just like the way I see things, I think that there's, I think there's definitely some mainstream tactics and things that have always been put out there that I just completely disagree with, and it's nice to give people
have
that
a platform to be able to.
Well, yeah, and guys that are looking at hunting that way or that style, give them some legit info, not like cookie cutter answers and stuff that I believe is just ridiculous. And honestly, one of the coolest things for me, doing a couple of these podcasts was. After a few I was on this past year, having guys come up to me at the show, it was like, man, I listened to a podcast you were on, and, I did what you said, and I killed a buck, it's my biggest buck, and
that's awesome.
That fires me up, man. Like, I can't, just kind of spreading the, spreading the joy there of the sport, and, I just know how that feeling is to connect and to get it done, and in any way that I can assist in guys to... up their game or figure out that deer that they can't crack or something is kind of cool.
Hey, well, we should talk about, I figure this is worth mentioning because it's kind of funny. One of our hardcore listeners, Jeremy, Mr. At Lift to Hunt on Instagram, he came up and, at the Wisconsin show, he came up to your booth too. And he's a big fucking giant dude.
That dude's huge,
and he came up to our booth and he would say like, hey, I He's like a really great listener, a big supporter of our show. And if we did something we didn't like, he'd be like, hey, I'm not going to lie. When you did this, it fucking sucked, and you should do this. And he came up to you and was straight up about hearing you on one podcast.
Yep.
And do you want to? I think it's important to kind of talk about that shit sometimes. Because, I mean, or I'll bring it up if you want.
He what he said to me, you mean?
Yeah, but he was like, I thought you were a fucking douchebag or something.
I don't know if he said those words.
I thought he said it that harsh.
No, it wasn't that. He's like, it wasn't that.
He's probably listening to this right now laughing his ass off.
I think I probably said that to you, like, over-exaggerating. Like I did. But no, he did say, he's like, I'm not going to be honest. He's like, when I heard you on the first podcast, I didn't like you. And, like, you know, he didn't say, like, you know, you're... douchebag.
I thought he did.
No.
It would have been funnier if he did.
Birds of a feather. He didn't like me at first either.
That would have been. I think that would have been a little bold.
Coming from that guy, though, you just have to take it.
Well, I mean, dude, Jeremy, I'd have went for the knee. but it was cool. We got to hang out a little bit. We talked some weightlifting and some hunting and. I love seeing guys like that too, and what was his girlfriend's name? Jeez, I forget it.
I can't ever remember.
I can't remember. But anyway, talking to him, and I mean, it was just, you know, it was cool, kind of going back and forth. And then he's like, "Yeah," he's like, "You know, I didn't know at first." He's like,
"Alicia,
is that what it was?"
Alicia, Alicia.
Yep. So shout out to Alicia. But anyway. You know, it was cool. He's like, yeah, and then I seen you kind of, you know, laid back a little bit with the working class guys and, you know, then started listening to some of the stuff you were saying, and I agreed with it. And so it was cool to see that, you know.
It's just cool a podcast can do.
Some feedback, you know.
Yeah.
Funny story about him. So there was a time when he was like, Kurt, you need to mute Steve's mic, like, just completely. He's like, dude, that dude sucks. And then it was like a couple weeks later or something, he posted, he goes, hey, or I think you might have, like, messaged us on Facebook. He goes, hey, I just want to say, I said that you should mute Steve's mic. I went back and listened to a bunch of episodes. I get it now. Dude, I apologize.
He came – I loved his honesty, man. Like, he gave honest critiques, but he also gives you credit, too. He's like, we did a podcast – I'll play vague here. We did a podcast with someone, and he thought we were going to do certain things with this someone, and then he saw it. He messaged me. He's like, I hope to God you guys aren't doing this. Why the fuck did you do this? And freaked out. I'm like, dude, it's cool, man. We're all good. Like, we're not going anywhere, man. We're not going anywhere.
Dude, yeah, he's a solid dude. And we got to talk a little bit, and he was just like.
It was cool, man.
He's like, I love you. He's like, you guys are real. And it is what it is. So
he was worried about us being, like, really big douchebags in person.
All right.
And I get it, too, man. I get that.
Like, I mean, I'm not that tall, so I can't be that big of a douchebag.
But
you know what I mean?
I'm doing another hard transition again. And I know we also did touch about this in our cliffhanger episodes from trade shows. So sorry if I'm, like, beating you with all the stuff we've already kind of talked about. But, like, this whole saddle hunting thing is, like, the new popular thing, too. What are your whole thoughts on it, man? Where do you see holes in the game? How do you feel about the whole popularity of it right now?
And why is your saddle going to be better than everyone else's?
Well... no, I mean, it's just...
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, well, and that's all I have to say about that. All
right,
well,
move on.
It's a loaded question. So
it is.
I mean,
it's loaded by design, because this is what I kind of wanted you to do right now.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know guys who are saddle through and through, who love it. You know, I have never fully immersed myself into the the small platform saddle style of hunting. I have a lot of people that tell me, like, oh, with the way you hunt, you know, especially, you know, hunting low most of the time and moving around so much, you know, you love the saddle. I don't like the idea of, you know, any sort of ropes or riggings in my way.
Mm-hmm. Which is my concern.
Which is a nice thing about our new actual, you know, and so, you know, we're... You know, I'd like to get away from saddle hunting, and I just did the quotes, the air quotes, because so what we have is it's not a saddle. So, you know, we have our platform that is, I mean, just 100% kind of redesigned from the base of the original Assassin. It's lighter weight. It's got external traction. It handles side pressure extremely well. It has awesome leveling capability. It has the new featured look of our hang-on as well, with the cut from one piece. Mm-hmm. It has the pivoting post on the top as well. It also has ports that accept our compact climbing sticks. So this saddle unit...
I didn't know that part, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This saddle unit, like, I think is going to be... I keep saying saddle unit. This little stand...
This tiny little stand.
This precious
itsy
little
bitsy stand.
This Burger King hand stand. dude, do you remember that commercial?
Oh, for sure.
Was that not like one of the best commercials out there?
It was hilarious.
The last time Cody watched television was 2011, yeah. And it shows.
and that commercial was on.
Good God.
But anyway, this is going to be hot because, I mean... It is, everything about it. I can't wait to release it because it's just it's a one-up of already great stand, lighter weight, a little bit smaller for, you know, those guys. And it actually, too, you know, even in the design of this thing, you know, you want that thing smaller? Well, that's all on you. You can make it smaller. There's actually a design in there to where you can have a smaller platform. So you can customize it. So it's a pretty... cool design here.
Cause you guys had that at the Wisconsin show, right?
We did have the prototype at the Wisconsin show. So with that being said, you know, our not saddle that we're pitching, you know, to hunt with this thing, it's more sort of a lean to. So you eliminate the rigging at a 45 and you're not sitting in a saddle. You can
stand on it.
You're standing and you're leaning in a harness. And your rigging or whatever you want to call it is very low, so you can actually shoot. You can go right over it and not have that obstruction of of the ropes.
Of not going up and over it, so you can just go right across.
Yep. And you know, there's a patented ring design on the actual belt harness system that allows you to, you know, rotate further and you know, pivot and lean around for shooting too. So. That, I think, will also be really well liked by people that are using a lot of these saddle saddles out there with the rigging that's in their way and that kind of thing. So
very cool.
And you can also adjust it and actually sit into it too, but it just has that more streamlined system of connecting to a tree. And there's nothing to it. You can wear it. You can scout in it. You can jump up in it. So and then it literally just has one tree tether. So there's no, you know, crazy... nothing big, ropes, nothing bulky, no packs you got hanging off your belt or anything like that. So with that being said, I think we're going to be able to accommodate those saddle guys, you know, if that's their, you know, way of hunting or, know, their way of choice. But I'm a sitter. I like to stand. I like stands personally.
Mm-hmm.
I can, you know, I don't have to... especially like we talked about in the other podcast, it doesn't seem like a broken record, but it was more, you know, with all this stuff on the new stand, it's like just it's the ultimate system for your gear too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just like, the freedom of a tree stand, and some would argue you have more freedom than a saddle, but maybe, and you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll try it one day and like it, but, I prefer the stand, the stand route, but more importantly, there's a lot of people who are into the saddle game just to be into the saddle game.
Yeah, sure. Because it's and there's a trendy thing. And I said it too from the beginning, and you can go back and find the episode. And I will try saddle hunting this year because I want to know what it's like. I want to be able to have an opinion one way. This is the hole, and this is where I see a hole in the game. This is where the advantage is, because then I can talk about shit and not seem like an asshole because I don't know what I'm talking about. But I said it from the beginning that... I mean, there's just a lot of concern with it, and then I think a lot of it is a lot of nerds that just like ropes and carabiners. I mean, honestly.
Well, that too.
It's like, a lot of, like, Boy Scout adults that are like, I'm going to tie this fucking person.
Eagle Scouts. Bro, don't be trashing Eagle Scouts. You get your ass kicked by, like, 90 kids.
No, I know that's all good and fine, but I just kind of was like, I made the joke about it. And
well, because saddle hunting's been around for a long time, and I haven't been in the hunting game as long as you guys have, and I didn't even know about it till this whole big craze came out.
Well,
I didn't even know it was an option.
It's just like the whole mobile thing we talked about. It's the same thing. That's coming full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's, you know, one of those deals for, you know, what people see, what's out there, what's perceived. Like, you know, you made that comment, Kurt, and I'm 100% on board with you in the fact that there is so much tinkering going on out there with hunting equipment,
mm-hmm.
and not enough time hunting.
Yeah,
like there's people that are so obsessed with
ropes and fucking
getting that extra 10. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, whether it be ropes and carabiners or and I get customizing your things because I customize mine, but I customize them everything. To a point. Mm-hmm. I'm not customizing something just to like
you customize go to over. A point that gets you out there to hunt and do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, like I have a buddy, personal friend. I'm not gonna drop any names, but he spends so much time getting up the tree just to brag about my setup's 4 pounds.
Like right,
but I could literally go up, down, and then be out of the woods by the time it takes him to
and take a nap.
And take a nap, a lengthy nap. No, but so for
Steve, you're on YouPorn in the tree stand.
YouPorn, dude, it's porn MD, dude.
Oh, sorry.
It just becomes, you know, it becomes to that point too. And also, I mean, the weight too is one thing, but that's where I'd like to start pushing. You know, I mean, the weight on our stand is phenomenal, but it's the way in which it stacks that even makes it lighter than it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, these guys too, even like I seen a guy on the internet who was using one eighter to get up like 30 feet. Well, dude, when I seen what that guy was going through to set up a stand, I am thinking to myself like, no way are you doing that with a buck bed and anywhere near you or no. Like, or even doing that every day. Like,
you're better off sitting on the ground.
Dude, well, he's in the like, Dauphin beds at that point.
Well, it's just to the point where like, you know, take a couple extra sticks and like,
just get
I
up
mean,
there.
you're talking three, you know, I mean, I don't know. You're talking to the guy that sometimes, like, I will literally sometimes carry, if I got a couple mile walk, I'll, like, disperse my weight evenly into both my hands and get, like, a trap and shoulder workout on the way there. And literally just try and, like, hold that. It sounds stupid, but, so, you know, if I know I'm going a long ways, like, I'm, you know, I'm about being active and about that sort of style of hunting, so sometimes I even make a workout out of it. I actually joked around with a guy, like, yeah, I'm going to come out with this nice, like, small, compact, heavy stand. You know, just
with a kettlebell to train with.
For those real hardcore dudes, you know? Like, those guys who are like, I'm packing in, and look at what I'm packing.
No, Westies.
I'm gonna put a damn pedestal on the back of the beam so you can slide plate weights on
it's
it.
Just cast
no,
iron.
No, what you need to do is just not cut out the platform, just the one chunk of aluminum.
Dude, it wouldn't be heavy enough.
Just make it cast iron, dude.
Hey, yeah, and that's when you call those dudes out. It's like, hey, man.
Take an anvil with you.
Then the commercial would be like, are you hardcore? And you show that thing.
Should we do another commercial for the cast
iron?
Yeah,
do it. Come on.
You show
right
it, on a,
it.
You show
right
it
now.
On a scale, right?
Let's
and then you put it on your back and you show the sweat, right?
The cast iron
and then,
platform.
And then you take that fucker out there and you hunt all season on public land in Kentucky and you get it done.
And
it that
look,
is
and
hardcore
look like,
right there.
It will
there.
Look like you.
That's
okay, when you come out with your cast iron series, this will be the commercial.
Here it is. Give me some like hot.
I don't think you're gonna kill it. Like you.
There it is. That's what I'm talking about right there.
It's the same song. Isn't it?
All right,
it's
ready?
The
exact same song.
Yeah.
Just give me something different.
I didn't feel like looking all for right. A new one.
Ready? Hey, are you a bro? Do you even lift, bro? Well, check it out. If you try to lift and hunt, we got just what you need. Look, bro, we got 9 pounds of solid aluminum with the handle cut out, bro. So
only
stop being so shallow.
Pounds.
Nah, I wasn't feeling that one.
Yeah, you bro, you were not feeling it?
You just were offensive.
Yeah. To who?
Bros.
Dude, bros.
And they, Cody.
Speaking of language, stop being so shallow about the weight on your stands, man. Sometimes
that would
a little
fun,
heavier
though.
If this it's thing, late in the season.
This thing's going to weigh like 49 pounds, not 9 pounds.
I know. That's where you lost me. You didn't say cast iron.
If it was cast iron, it'd be way more than 49 pounds.
Oh,
it?
Yeah.
For sure.
That's funny, though. Make like a training stand so it's heavy so when you go in to actually hang it, it feels light.
Yeah. Look, it was, well, you know, I had a guy at the show too. This was a couple years ago that really wanted an ultimate lightweight stand, right? And I said, well, we got this stand that's probably like 11 and a half, 12 pounds all set up. Like it's pretty light. You know, I need lighter. I'm hardcore. And I was like, okay, man. I was like, well, and you know, I think I really try and help everybody out for what they're really looking to get. So I'm like, okay, all right. How can we get you a lighter setup? You know, I'm like, well. You know, personally, I'm telling them on ways that you could, you know, I'm like, well, you could do this to the seat, or you could, you know, choose to not take your second belt, or, you know, just options to get it down. He's like, no, this is unacceptable. Like, you know, I am.
This is unacceptable, young man.
Yeah,
like, who the fuck are you talking to?
He's like, it's unacceptable. He's like, okay, I'm just, That's all I do is you know, pack in, and I'm, you know, I'm a diehard and I'm super hardcore. And I was like, all right, man. I was like, well, how about this? I'm like, I don't even take four sticks. I take two sticks, and then I run a couple screw-ins. I said, we can, you can save, you know, I mean, X amount of pounds with this, with that. No, I need to be 20 feet because I'm hardcore.
Damn.
And I'm like, dude, and I was going for so long trying to help this guy out. And I said, you know what? I said, you're going to buy a tree stand today. You know, and I walked over to my bag, and I grabbed my wrench, and I took the seat off of it, and I threw it in the back of the booth, and I was like, boom, that sucker's 8 pounds right there. And he's like, what are you doing? I was like, well, you're hardcore, right? Like, just go out there and stand. Wing it. Just go out there and wing it with no seat, you know, yeah. And just stand.
Dude, the hardcore dude would just put two pegs out on the side of the
but
shit.
It's just a point, like, you know, yeah. Do you bite your nose off, spite your face? It's like, okay, you right. know, we want to get light, you know, but we also want function, too. I mean,
yeah, where do you draw the line?
You know yeah. what?
It's almost if you're that hardcore, you just take a fucking stand and throw up a tree.
Fuck those hardcore guys. Fuck all this childish bullshit. Cody, what I really need to know is, when are you coming out with a mobile 13-foot ladder stand pack? Oh. That's what I'm fucking curious about.
The extendable,
I don't care about none
extendable
of this
ladder.
Shit. All this bullshit you talked about, dude. This is what I want.
Steve's getting too excited. You might have to dial her back a couple notches, bro.
You got a... Well, I didn't want to release it before, but I guess what...
Here it is. Time to launch it. Do we need to do another commercial?
Did I have you there? No, there will be no...
To do this.
Okay, so, and honestly, flat out, the reason that I... Obviously, that was a gag question.
Oh,
but,
yes, it is.
But a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? And I'm just like, well, no, I don't think so, because, like, I don't hunt out of that. Like, so I, like you were talking about, you know, you need to get it to, I would feel like if, you know, I couldn't design you the ultimate ladder, because I don't use ladder stands, and I just don't know what, I mean.
You wouldn't know where to start on it, and it's not an effective way to do it anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't even want to touch it. I wouldn't want to touch it.
All right, let me transition a little bit, too, because that's a good time to transition. We talked about this a little, maybe we touched on some of our shorter podcasts, and I know in phone conversation we've brought this up, how there's like air quote public figures and the experts of whitetail hunting, whitetail tree stand hunting, that a lot of guys make these super bold statements, and it almost kind of paints them into a corner to where they have to get it done, otherwise they look like idiots. You know what I'm talking about? Some of just certain things that have been said, the guys that call out just certain things on like buck bedding and certain things on thermals or certain things on October lull shit or don't hunt field edges or don't do this and don't do that and don't go in the morning in October, and it goes on and on. And I think that might go back to what you said earlier when you're like, I hear a lot of guys say shit that I disagree with. That podcast have allowed you to get on and kind of say why you disagree with it in certain areas. What do you think about like guys making too bold of statements, like it's the final word type of thing?
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't agree with it. I just it's I get being known for one thing. It's like I think that happens with, you know, everybody. You know, I mean, Neen Williams has his heel flip. It's just like one of those deals where
you know you got
buck bedding or hunting beds or being aggressive, or it's everybody gets caught up on this like one thing.
Buck bedding's hot right now. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, and it's and so many people and I've killed plenty of deer, like, you know, either, you know, putting the front knee down to bed up or like, you know, close to that area, but it's not always the go-to.
Right.
It's not like I think
it could be number one a lot of times, but it's not the only go-to.
Well, so many people are like, dude, I like, you know, like they got a hard on to shoot a buck in the bed, in the bedroom, or in his bedroom, or in a bed.
People want
to
be that
on that ridge top,
well, which is right on that ridge. which is fine, you know, if that's your, you know, if that's like your bucket list,
your like goal.
You know, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, that's fine, but when they go out and strategically, like that's all they're thinking about is, like, doing that, and then they don't end up with a successful season, you know, you gotta take that into account that you're kind of, you know, playing on, it's like the October lull. Well, okay, if you're listening to one of these quote-unquote guys who know what they're talking about, and they tell you not to be going out in October or to wait... To wait for these prime times in November and not, you know, take it easy on your farm and stuff like that, and you know, and you waste 20 days of your season, and you don't because of that, well, you gotta own that then. So
yeah,
I mean, it's just, you know, it's about making your choices. But I always tell, or I always say, like, and I tell myself this too, like, don't overlook the obvious. Sometimes it's easy to overthink things, and you start looking at things, and then, I mean, I catch myself doing it all the time, like, oh, well, that deer wouldn't be doing that. And then I think to myself, well,
why not?
Why the hell not? You know, like, right. you thought that for a reason, you know, I mean, so then I just act on that and yeah. You know.
There was an interview, and I love how brutally honest you are. There's an interview on, we watch on YouTube, we watch at ATA, and the guy has a question. He's like, well, if you know where the buck's feeding and where the buck's bedding, you know, what do you do? He's like, if I knew that. And you go, if you know where that buck's bedding and the buck's feeding, why is that deer not dead?
Like, right. Yeah. I mean, I think in that interview too, it was even like, he gave me, you know, cause
a
I always,
scenario or
he
something.
gave me a scenario, yeah. And literally gave me every piece of the puzzle. And I'm just like, dude, how, like, yeah. We'll go
you answered
hunt
your
here.
Own question. Bro.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, well, Where would I hunt this deer in the morning if at 7:30 he's leaving this area and he's going to this area and that width is only 76 yards? Like, where would I kill this deer? And I'm like, yeah. Well, really, guy?
Right.
So, I mean, and I know that guy. He's a good buddy of mine. But
which is probably why that interview might have seemed kind of abrasive.
Yeah, I mean,
It was a good interview.
Don't get me wrong. I think he was getting a little heated because he was upset about the questions. But I love that guy. We actually had – dude.
Or the answers, you mean?
Yes. We had a knockdown dragout argument over Nickelback one time.
About Nickelback.
Dude, hey, because Nickelback fucking rocks, right?
Thank you.
Thank you, dude. Oh, my God, dude. Hey,
dude, the 21 Savage.
Dude, people who didn't have Silver Side Up. All right, if you did not have Silver Side Up, dude, these are Canadians, and they rhymed, and I'm not bullshitting. Go back and listen to it. He said, it's not like you to say sorry. I was waiting on a different story. They rhymed sorry with story. They took their accent and rhymed it with a fucking word. If you want to tell me that Nickelback is not the greatest goddamn rock band that this world has ever seen,
I'm not going
right up a rope.
I'm not going that far.
Yeah, I would have knocked that dude the fuck out too. Just saying.
Okay.
All right,
easy.
Steve just got all riled
take
up.
Take it easy. Steve, we're talking about other shit.
And we're going to take a five.
Do you love Puddle of Mud too?
Steve.
I do like Puddle of Mud.
Take a laugh.
Okay, so what? Out of all those, like, the kind of paint yourself into a corner statements that a lot of these, like, public influencer hunter guys say, what's the one that you disagree with most, or you kind of, like, have a different take on? Would it be the October lull?
I think the October lull is a big one. Even people with tree stands claiming that you have to be 20 or 30 feet.
And that's what I wanted to bring up earlier, because I saw some of your setups today, and I'm the guy who always goes high.
Yeah,
You don't always have to be that high, but some of your setups, the way you tucked them in, I'm like, that's an eye-opener.
That's stealth mode right there.
I'm guilty of that one. I'm the first one to admit it.
My interest has finally peaked for the first time in this
episode. Yeah, but I've seen some of the stands. I've seen the stands you hunt out of, and it's like 10 foot high, and you might as well just
kill a deer out of it.
You might as well set one of those dudes you see at car lots in the wind. You might as well set that dude next to your tree.
That's a good distraction, dude. Set that shit 10 feet back, and then they're looking over there, and
he would never come.
So is... Which one do you think would be number one? The one that you kind of disagree with or have a different?
Okay, I'm trying to run through them. Let's have an open discussion here and run through some of the popular ones.
Bedding, thermals, field edges.
I've never heard ones on thermals. Thermals are important, but scent proofing clothes, height in tree stands, October lull.
Field edges is a big
morning
one.
Hunting. Yeah, I mean,
morning hunting in October.
There's literally a lot of – it's. I don't know. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm trying to think if there's anything that I – really agree with that.
What about
there.
your yeah. heartbeat energy? Because isn't that the some companies got that layer that?
I know you're talking about. That's not in the conversation.
I've never even heard of it.
I don't even talk about it because it's stupid.
It's stupid. Like your heartbeat emits like a predator and a prey. It's stupid.
Is it fair to say this though? All of this, it's stated too boldly and too, like, that is the word. Like, this, you can't hunt mornings in October. You don't do it. Like, well, that's incorrect because sometimes you get to.
That's the thing, yeah. Everybody's, they're a little too specific with it. There's a lot. What's the old saying? There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's many things that are gonna work.
Because in that interview, they'd say certain things, and you're like, well, why not? Like, why? Who says that? Why can't I do that?
Well, yeah, that seemed like the obvious question to me. Like, oh, well, they, you know, you can't do this in the morning, or you can't. well, what do you mean can't? Like, so somebody right. thinks you shouldn't? Or right. like, you know.
Like you literally can do that.
Well, it's like, Steve, you had a buck early October last season. In the time frame where people say don't hunt mornings in October, yeah. and I'm like, you need to go in there and kill this fucking thing because it was he was getting daylight photos like every day, every other day in the morning, like right at shooting light.
Yeah, like October probably first, second week, 7th, 8th.
Yeah,
he was out there in the day,
and I'm like, dude, you can go in there and kill that buck. Did Run Steve time. Do it? No, he didn't, but he could have.
Certainly could have. I had the ability.
You just didn't. You just didn't do it.
You just had to have the want. You
the
know,
the option was there. It just didn't happen.
Okay, I got another thing.
Lack of motivation.
I've been seeing. There's several groups, guys, influencers, whatever you want to call them, doing like clinics right now, like whitetail hunting clinics. And I haven't looked into them. I don't know everything that they cover or how they cover it and stuff. But would you ever do like a whitetail clinic? Like people are going to come to me and I'm going to show them how to do something. Or what's your opinion on someone doing that? I mean, what do you think?
I mean,
like
yeah.
a seminar type deal.
Like a clinic. Like this is here's a rub. This is what way this deer's moving by the side of the tree the rub's on. This is how you want to walk through the leaves.
This is how you hang tree stands on spruces, bro.
Honestly, like shit like that. Yeah, really.
I don't know too much about it, like what you're saying. I've never looked into it. I don't know what's gone through on these things. Or
maybe that was a shitty question, apparently.
don't answer that,
I don't
Cody.
Give a fuck enough about that question to answer it, so fuck you.
Hand me a beer, Steve. I'm going to need one.
But with that being said, like, no, I would never – I don't think I'd do anything like that. I'm pretty open. I mean, I like to – you know, I talk with guys at the shows and stuff or any – you know, I think I'm a pretty open guy if anybody wanted to ask me a question or bounce something off me. But,
God damn it.
I don't know. I mean, I think the best way to learn is to get out there and do it. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I just don't know about or how those things work, I guess.
Now, when you say that, go out and do it. So for a guy, you know, such as myself, I'm still a student of the game, but I talk to the best hunters. When you say, like, go out and do it, obviously it's good to have a you know, some sort of guidance to, you know, like, I don't know if there's anybody who's went out.
You thought my question was bad.
Well,
he's still trying to ask his.
I award you no points.
I don't know if there's any guy that's ever went out there and like figured out deer that well without like reading into
and
shit.
You're insane.
You know what I mean? I don't think
anyone's listening to you right now.
No, fuck it, dude. I'm abandoning the question. You know what? This is a new year, 2019, big moves only. Steve's going to ask a stupid question. I'm abandoning it.
I'm going to take Steve out on his ground, and we're gonna kill a good one.
Dude, that would make my life if that happened.
Shit,
that needs to happen.
You got to get your mind right though, Steve. We're going to the gym. We're going to the gym before we go out too.
Just oh hell yeah, dude! Yeah, we get a nice pump before we pump.
You can't shoot a deer before it's about to bed up. Without
you better get a giant pole rope because you won't be able to get up and stand.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull Steve up into
dude,
the stand.
It's funny because we were just talking about that where I had to pull my buddy up in a stand.
Yeah,
that literally happened. I mean, he kind of froze up halfway. Okay, in his defense, this setup was super sketch. Not to the fact that it was...
Oh, I've been on like that with some of Kurt's
setup. Well, not that the setup was sketch, but it was on a tree that was coming out of a cliff side, like a rock
right.
So the tree came out a little bit and then started going straight up. And the stand, I told him, I said, hey, the stand's only one stick high. I was like, but, you know, we're a little off the backside, so we had to climb up this rock, like little rock face, hop on the ridge where deer actually bed, and then you step over from, like, the rock face onto the first stick, and then you're just you pop up into the stand. But the tree was kind of mature and big, so you couldn't, like, manhandle it.
Right.
And once you were sitting in it, you were, like, looking down 60 straight feet, like, just into this
so
bottom.
The stand's only – them the stand's only 15 feet off the ground, but
– No, it's only, like, 5 feet off the ground from the backside.
Right.
But from the front side, like, 60. It's literally – you know, like, when you get up, like, Alan McKee and stuff, like, it's, you know, you got the straight rock faces. So, so anyway, you know, it was about – it was real, real steep, and he got in that first step. And I was filming him, but he got in that first step and was like – dude, I can't make it up there.
He just froze.
Like, he looked over there. Yeah, he looked over to the left side and was like, oh, dude, it's way too high. So I'd, like, grab him and pull him up into the stand. but it was cool. So, yeah, so I've had experience doing that.
Dude,
I
went from being afraid of heights to being too cheap to buy enough sticks to get up that high. So that's I'm not afraid of heights. I'm just afraid that if I get up that high and spend that money, I'm not going to have gas money to make it home. But that shit's all in the past. Shit's all in the past, man.
I'm lost.
I used to be pretty afraid of heights, but now you know, just kind of doing what I do. You know, when you're 38 feet in the air looking down, you're just like, 20 feet's kind of a cakewalk.
And that's,
here
that's the thing. You don't need to get. You don't need to be that high in a tree. You really don't. The only reason I was that high is because that was the only tree to get that spot, and I knew that was the right spot that the deer was going to come through. And he shot a buck that day. So, I mean, like, it was, you know, it was one of those deals where some people go up to my sets and they're like, dude, are you nuts? Like, what the hell were you doing? I'm like, well, I needed to be this high because, you know, I think the thermals are going to push this way and the deer's coming from here. So, and then other times, like the one, you know, Kurt seen today was, I mean, you can literally just stand there and grab grab the platform. So,
but it was one of those stands, you go, yeah, that's one I had right there. And I looked at him, I go, where? Oh, shit, I would have been dead.
Yeah, you almost
hit your head on it,
dude. I think there's a height there that you're not paying attention there.
I was looking over it, above it.
Yeah, yeah, you're looking above it, or you're like looking what's on the ground.
So, do you think deer think like that? Like
I do think there's something in that height that really
you know, there's some deer out of that.
There's almost
there's times where like a deer will be feeding and has no idea there, and they just look up, like head down. Directly in your eyeballs, you're like,
well, they
what
probably,
the fuck? Yeah,
what the fuck?
They could have caught your wind or caught your eyeballs, man. Your eyes, dude.
Dude,
eyes
I've always said that. Squint your fucking eyes if you got a buck looking at you.
Yeah, and you've told me you've had does look at you and you just closed your eyes.
I swear they close see them. They see the whites in your eyes, man.
Oh, they see
they
it
stare
like
in your soul.
We're almost starting wearing blacked out contact.
Well, we're all talking at the same time, so that's why we have headphones on. Sorry, Steve. So. I swear, though, they see the whites in your eyes, and whenever I have, like, does or a buck look up at me, I squint my eyes to where I can still see them, but where they can't see. Because we're predators. Our eyes are on the front of our head.
Do you remember a few years ago, the baseball players were all wearing those contacts that were, like, shaded around there? They covered out the whites of your eyes so they wouldn't be reflecting.
No, I have no idea. That was
fucking insane, dude. I was thinking about implementing that. I want to wear some contacts where they're colored.
Dude. Steve's on some next-level shit
dude,
right now.
Dude, I'm thinking about I'm next to Cody. I'm picking up his vibe right now.
His aura?
Dude, I'm osmosising some of his intelligence, and
it doesn't
unfortunately,
even make sense.
Unfortunately, I'm taking it from him.
I'm hard segueing again. You guys ready?
Do it.
What I want to talk about, Cody, now is
contacts.
We talked about this a little on and off. A lot of guys that basically give themselves a handicap or like public land guys hunt the public land but then bitch about hunting public land. You know? Or bitch at the guys that hunt private and they hunt public and then kind of shame those guys.
It's just like that. Yeah. So, I mean...
It'd be like guys with a recurve, hunting with a recurve, knowing hunting with a recurve is hard, but bitching about how they can't make a 30-yard shot.
Or it's like guys who go to McDonald's every day and bitch about that they can't get a date. It's like, yeah, no shit, fatty.
Okay, Steve's got some hard feelings over here.
For himself.
But
there's some realization going on tonight.
That's a thing right now, though, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's a lot of... you know, the public land thing is really big. Public land is great. There's awesome public land pieces. I mean, I hunt public land. I mean, when I get a chance, I mean, I have a lot of private ground. It doesn't come over that, but you know, I have some leases. I have some permission. I kind of bounce around. It's about finding a deer. So if you really look at the game, everybody is in the same game. So I listen to a public land hunter, you know, telling me he's looking for 130-inch deer, and he's telling me about, you know, 115s and 120s he's passing up and trying to locate that deer. I'm trying to do the exact same thing on a different scale.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at that level, or I've done this. That's where, like, you know, I have couple hundred acre private farm here. If there's not a deer on it, I'm going and I'm finding that deer I'm after. If you're hunting a piece of public ground, which is a handicap, you have your other hunters hunting it, you know, I think there should be something there that you're looking for, you know, right? So, and if there's not...
If you're going to put up with the bullshit.
Yeah, you shouldn't be there. But if you are going to choose that, like you said, if you're going to choose to go out with a recurve, the last thing I think you should be doing is after the season's said and done, you're bitching that I didn't kill that buck because I was hunting with a recurve.
Mm-hmm.
That is the last thing. So that's why, like, I hear people, and like we talked about this at the show, you get these guys, well, I didn't kill anything because I only hunt public ground. And they look down at people who hunt private because,
right.
Well, go get yourself a piece of private ground. I mean, like, you know, you're hunting public. And
if you're that miserable, change it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you can, or if, oh, well, you know, I mean, you know, it's not in the cards. Go scout a different piece of public ground.
Mm-hmm.
Go drive a little further. Go where the people aren't. You know, I mean,
yeah.
There's things, I think anything you want to do, you got to put forth the effort mm-hmm. into, you know, into finding those deer yeah. or getting in those better areas.
It's kind of the equivalent that I hear. I shoot a deer that makes me happy, whatever year it may be. Say this year I bucked out. I shot two deer that made me really happy. But then I talked to some guys maybe at work or just whoever. Well, I just don't have time anymore. I wish I could do that. It's like, well, I make time.
Right.
You have to. I do. Everything in my life is focused around deer hunting. I make time to go kill a deer. Just because you didn't have the time, you didn't want to do it bad enough. That's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
Don't bitch yeah. at me because I made time to do it.
And it sounds cliche, but I always said that too in like the fitness. And it all comes down to everything, I think. How mm-hmm. bad do you want it?
I don't want it that bad, but I wish I did.
You know, right? it's one of those things.
That's
you know?
Why we
I mean,
the way we do.
But I know that, though.
But that's the thing. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's you know, how bad do you want that 150-inch deer? Or whatever your personal goal is, if you really want that thing that bad, you know, I mean, then
you will go and get it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know that the piece of ground you're hunting is a public piece of ground that gets super high pressure and that the biggest deer is 135 inches on there. Like, well, what are you doing?
You get the hell you out
know,
of there.
Right. I know guys who hunt public who literally go as far as analyzing populations, mm-hmm. hunters per square mile. Like,
yep.
And they're determined to get it done on public, which is great. It's their goal.
I know guys that do it by populations by county.
Yeah, yeah. So they're taking it that next step to find those bigger deer on public. I talked to a guy the other day. I mean, awesome point of view. It was the best thing I heard come out of a public land hunter's mouth, like quote unquote, it's like one of these guys who's strictly public,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, and he's up in Michigan. He's like, dude, he's like, I'm going out of state. And I was like, oh, you are, you know, I thought, you know, your big thing was, you know, public land, Michigan. He's like, dude, I want bigger deer. And I said, that's what it's all about right there.
Gotta make those moves.
You gotta make the moves. You know what I mean? You can't just sit. If you want big deer on the wall and you're hunting Michigan, big woods, Michigan, and mm-hmm. you're never seeing any big deer and you're never killing any big deer and you know no big, well then that's not going to happen if you just stay there.
Right. Well, I want to kill a mule deer really bad this year and I'm not going to kill one here. I'm going to go get one this year.
Right.
That's the plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same thing though, right? You know, I mean,
if you want it hard enough, you will go find it and make a way to do it
and
happen.
And the thing too is like, I just feel like this is important to talk about, like the handicap thing in hunting, because hunting is a handicap. Hunting with a bow is a huge handicap. Hunting public land, I get that, is a big handicap. And I'm the first dude to give mad credit to dudes who are killing deer on public land. I think that shit is so badass. But it also goes to like certain guys in states, like the dude in Michigan. There's people in Michigan that say, I can't kill a big deer because my neighbor shoots a deer, so I got to shoot this deer. And it kind of just spirals down to like, where is the problem pinpointing from? But guys in the South that like, well, I wish I could hunt like a big Iowa or Illinois buck. Well, you got to come up here, you know.
You
like, and same thing as I'm not going to kill an elk here. I got to go try and chase one down in Colorado where I can do it over the counter, get my feet wet, and I'm willing to do what it takes to build my preference points and go in and go to a spot where one day I will kill a big elk. I just right now I'm doing what it takes to get to that point that allow mm-hmm. me to kill, draw a good elk unit and go kill a big elk because. Big elk aren't always on over-the-counter units in Colorado, so I'm going to go fucking find one somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what it, you know, and then would you go, you know, to a spot like that, shoot a cow and be like, wow, you know, I was here and I was doing this, and I had a bow with only one pin on it, and I, you know, and like make a laundry list of excuses for shooting a cow? Like, no, it's just, dude, like, it is what it is.
I even said that, too.
Say, yeah, I want to shoot a cow, so I shot a cow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I shoot a lot of does, and the I said that too about the buck I shot this year. The first mm-hmm. the first buck wasn't near as big. I was like, man, I'd shoot him all over again. The way he came in got me all riled up.
And you know as soon as that buck's walking in, like I don't care if it's 110 inches or 240 inches, you know you're going to shoot that buck.
Right, right.
Oh,
But going back to the cow thing too, we talked about this like before I went on that hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, really, shooting the cow is not an option unless it's like last day and I know we have time to get her out. Like.
Yep.
I was a public land bull only. We didn't get it done, but it is what it is. That's how it happened. So I just feel like that's important to talk about. Really to kind of like one, just get the discussion out there, but also to like help people. Like, if that's all you do is do public land, or all you do is do recurve hunting, or all you do is have, if you limit yourself to 25 yards and you can't shoot past 25 yards, you know, it's, you can't really bitch if a deer's at 40 and he's, it's a perfect shot and you can't make the shot. Like, that's right. on you to do yeah. that.
Dude, it's funny you say that. I mean, we were in the stand last year, and I had a buddy filming me, and this slammer comes by at like 30 yards, mm-hmm. and he's like, I'm on him, I'm whatever. I'm like, dude, he's way out of range. I'm like, I can't freaking look like a mile away to me, and he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, dude, I need him close, man. I just want him nice and close, you know. And he's like, yeah. dude, this is you're crazy, whatever. And I'm just like, well, just something that I never, you know. So, but at that time, do I go back to camp? Like, well, I would have had one if I would have been able to shoot 30 yards.
Yeah.
Right. Well, dude, if I really wanted to be able to shoot 30 yards, like, I'd get my ass in the backyard and shoot my bow.
Yeah.
And start practicing at 30 yards.
But the thing then, is, what you probably just said, oh, he was out of range.
That's
just
yeah, it? Yeah. And I knew that I was, you know, looking at my, you know, chess game of moving in on that deer and whatnot. But it's just the, you know, it's.
But in that situation, you were kind of the bigger man. Like, you owned up to it and said, I can't make that shot.
Yeah.
You weren't going to try and wing it and say, oh, I might be able to do it. Let me just fling an arrow. Right, you know what right. I'm saying?
Well, it goes back to this point, too. Like, I'm going to South Dakota this year. My dad and I are going out there with the Buckstrom boys to hunt antelope and mule deer. It's like the seasons are open at the same time. And Jeremy told me, he's like, dude, if you can't shoot long distance accurately, you're already out. You're already at a huge disadvantage for antelope out here because they just see you. From yeah. so long, and I'm like, well, now I know what it takes. If I want to have a chance of getting a public land antelope out there, I'm going to be shooting 80, 90 yards to dial in to make those 60 yards easy.
Mm-hmm.
And
because you got
to
do it.
That's just the line of work. This is what you have to work for. Or like mm-hmm. you just, it's kind of fun. Set yourself at that next level if I want to get it done. I don't want to bitch and be like, they're all out of range. I mean, if they are out of range, it's whatever. But I know what it takes to get certain things done. You almost have to know your formula.
Right.
And if your formula isn't there, like if you live in Michigan, there's no big deer. That guy, your buddy, is going after it somewhere else. Would he go to Iowa or Illinois or something like that? Or
I think he's looking to like Ohio or somewhere, nice. Somewhere closer to yeah. where he's at in Michigan.
So, over the counter state.
Yeah, over the yep. counter state. But it's about getting out there. Man, you know, he's like, man, I want some bigger deer. And I'm like, dude, there you go, man. It's what you want.
Right.
It's that next step.
Yeah, you're seizing it. You know what I mean? And he's done very well mm-hmm. on Michigan public ground.
That's awesome.
But it's one of those things where, you know, it's just you talk about that. It's like even you can have the best private farm that, you know, the best private farm around, and if your goal is a, you know, 220 inch typical, those deer, just because you got private ground doesn't mean those deer are there.
Yeah, but right. Yeah,
and it doesn't always make them easier to kill.
Well, and that too, and we talked about it also is I can't remember. I talked about this on I think the East Coast podcast. You know, yeah, I hunt private ground, but I don't have a fucking awesome like killer piece. Like, no. I'm still hustling. And hunting private ground, even as like a small parcel, requires a different skill set. Then there's a lot of guys that chase, and it works for some of them, like Whitetail Adrenaline. They're some of my favorite hunting DVDs of all time. Love Jared Shuffler. Love everything they do. Those guys pressure deer. That's how they hunt. They pressure deer. They chase them around, and they end up getting on one. And a lot of times they're successful. A lot of times they're not.
Mm-hmm.
On public ground, there's a lot of dudes who chase bucks in circles and eventually ruin the opportunity, then they're off somewhere else to chase the next one around, and they ruin the opportunity. If all you have is 40 acres of private, you can't do that shit there. It's a different skill set. You have to approach things different. You have to be careful on your wind direction, on your thermals, on how you get entrance, in, how you get right. out. It's an all new ball game when you could pressure that deer over on the neighbor's 40 acres, and then he puts an arrow in him on the fence line. It's different.
Yeah, but I mean, bottom line, man, these are all wild animals, and I mean you're trying to get, whether you're, you know, on this 40 acre piece that's public or the piece literally right across the fence, I mean you're trying to kill the same deer, you're trying to outsmart them, you're trying mm-hmm. to so it's still a process. It's not like
nothing's easy,
especially when you're kind of going after them, and there's more laxed forms of hunting, you know, people that don't get super into it, that just enjoy getting out there in the
Which
ladder
is cool.
stands. Yeah, I mean, by
sit
all
the
means,
same stand every year, and they love it.
Yeah, and
that's awesome.
I know
kill
people,
deer too.
Yeah, I know people sure. who shoot a lot of big deer like that, but you know, it becomes I think there becomes an addiction to the pursuit. You know,
the chase.
The chase.
The chess match.
Exactly. And then you start chasing like specific deer, or you know, setting goals for yourself for a bigger deer. Or, you know, I mean,
is that something you trying to do? Like, do you try and get in there with that chess match with a certain deer if you can, if you can get on them? I mean, obviously, if you can, that's what you're doing. But or do you kind of like the randomness of it, where you set up in a good spot, or what's like kind of your main? Your main like dive in tactic? Are you trying to locate a buck specifically?
Like,
are you
thought going process to, on it?
Yeah. Are you going into like one spot where you know one could just cross through like a heavy pinch point? Like, what's your go to?
Typically, the go to would be to locate specific deer. It depends where I'm at. If I know about the deer, I typically don't do like that general, oh, this is a good pinch, because I'm typically not hunting in a lot in November or that would be more of a November tactic, just to get on deer in general. But,
right. Right.
Yeah, I love hunting a specific deer. That mm-hmm. that gets really cool to me, because it narrows it down a lot. You know, I mean, it's you can go out there and look at, like you said, get on new spots. You know, you can go pressure this deer, jump over there, maybe evening hunt, morning hunt, different piece of farm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of bouncing around. But like, you know, you really got to start thinking out your moves.
With a totally different mindset at that point.
It is.
So I might have.
You know, instead of just going, oh, okay, this stand is good for this wind.
Oh, this looks like a good
no,
spot.
No, this stand is good for this deer.
Yeah.
I might have told Austin Chandler that I was going to do that. I told him that this upcoming deer season, that's what I want to do. I was like, we were walking back to my vehicle at the Wisconsin Deer Classic. I was like, dude, my goal this year is I want to get on a specific deer. I don't care if it's 110 inch.
The like thing is, you could have done deer. That last year,
and I
could have pointed out to you,
and I did not do that. And why was I not as successful? Because I did not. Because
you didn't listen.
You're an idiot. I did not. I'm not the best hunter, but I told Austin, I'm like, dude, this is my goal this year. I'm like, I want to pick a deer out early season. I'm like, I don't care if he's a monster or if he's a dink. I want to pick that deer out, and I want to figure it out, and I want to kill that specific deer.
Like, you'll learn a ton, man, I bet.
That's what I want to do. I don't care how big this deer is. I want to follow that deer. I want to be a fucking predator. You know what I mean?
And you got to be able to move.
And I do.
You got to get totally frustrated with deer, though, if you're targeting one deer.
You can get frustrated with deer. I try not to get frustrated, but... Mm-hmm. To that point, like, you know, what we're talking about, when hunting a general spot and killing a big deer is awesome,
mm-hmm.
but hunting down a specific deer mm-hmm. is like, dude, it's like next level high. Like, it's especially if, like, you got history, like that deer got you.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, if he got by you or busted you or.
Right.
I mean, there's been some deer that I hunted that knew I was hunting them for sure. And it was like. It was tough, man. It's crazy because they do know. I mean, people think that.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys think about that, but when they get your individual scent,
oh yeah,
I mean they pick it out. I mean,
well,
they know
if you're
what
close
it
to where
they
know you're there, because it's nothing else gets that close.
Well, I think it's more so
his cologne.
Well, I think it's more so the correlation between the smell, danger, like, you know, that, like, if you know that deer cracks you at 4 feet in a tree in close proximity to him, and he gets your wind, and you know, and
him moving during shooting light,
well, and you caught him
up on his
guard.
Feet.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's gonna know something's up. I mean, I
never thought.
So
about
when he
that.
Sees you again, do you think he knows that's that same guy?
Oh, well, no, I mean, I don't think. It's not about sight; it's about smell.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
think,
if he smells
about,
you or sees you,
think
or
about this once. So I had, you know. If you think about a deer's nose, I like to think about it like this. So I had a puppy, a black lab, and I took him to chocolate lab. I took him to school, right? Dropped him off when he was like 13 weeks old. He was there for like 8 weeks, right? You know, I'm trying to think of how I had a buddy maybe that probably seen him like twice. You know, I mean, he recognized that buddy's smell.
Oh, for sure.
Smelling him twice, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, whether or not what was going on in his head, but think of like the powerfulness of a dog's nose or a bear or a deer's nose. I mean, shit, they got studies out right now that they're saying a bear can damn near tell time because their nose are so good.
That's insane.
Like, they
a
can
bear?
Yeah, like they literally, I don't know where I heard it, but they were doing like some study about like a bear's nose is so strong that it can smell like
the sun.
No, no, like it would smell a woman's perfume from like a day ago, like with like a, you know, oh, like this walked by at this time, you know, and
oh,
then
I gotcha.
Or like, oh, right. Or that burger smell is this old because of like the potency of it. So,
oh, and that's how they get on trails and shit where they know it's, yeah, like, well, this crossed, yeah, an hour.
Well, dude, I've literally been hunting open country like in Kansas to where like, you know, you can't tell what a deer is like with binos, like just hundreds and hundreds of yards away. And you get that wind switch or that wind, like they're eating out in the field. I've seen deer hit brick walls at, yeah, like a clear mile from me.
That's so mind-blowing.
Literally hit, you know.
And look right at you.
Look right in that direction and just take the fuck off. And people are like, oh, what scared that deer? I'm like, dude, that deer just smelled you.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. No,
there's
way.
No way. There's no way.
Dude, you know how many times early on hunting that my dad and I would have a deer spook. We didn't see it and we didn't think it could smell us. It was like, what the fuck? Something spooked it. Well, it was us.
Dude, there's so many bucks.
You smell like Steve.
There's so many bucks that are cracking people that they don't even know about.
Because half the time, a big mature buck will slip out.
Oh, yeah. They're not going to do the whole woman,
making a
start
scene.
Blowing. Yeah.
They'll make a scene. Yeah.
Well, I've talked about that before. Is people spook deer entry, exit, and a lot of time when like wind swirls, whatever, and don't know it.
They'll just slip out. The big bucks.
And I try to explain that to people who don't hunt, like,
right,
and they don't get the wind. I'm like, you realize, like, if you're not seeing deer, if you go like a long time and you're in a good spot, you don't see deer, something's messed up because they're probably smelling you before you even see them, and then they just dip off the other way, and you never knew about it.
That's like, well, those, like, big bucks walking through like a, you know, a bar area, you know, like the district. You know, you look and you don't see.
Eric was
going to
say something with more
on
weight of content.
I know.
Too.
Well, saying. That's what I say. Like even shed hunting, you know, you can walk past a deer, and all of a sudden you look behind you, and he's running the other way.
Yeah, or slipping out away from you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you literally walked right past that deer, didn't even see him, and then all of a sudden he stood up and ran the other way.
Well, Cody, how close, like, when you target a buck and you're trying to get in, I mean, is your main goal, if you're going to want to figure out where he's sleeping and figure out where he's feeding, essentially, like we talked earlier, how close do you feather near where its buck bed is?
Living.
I mean, or do you kind of feather light a little at first until you know for sure you're dialed and then make your move, or what's your main?
Yeah. I don't have a specific mindset like, oh, I need to kill this deer on the bed. If I know where he's bedding, I'll use that to my advantage, but I'm not like, a lot of times I don't go hellbound right into it. Even if I have an idea, like, okay, I think, prime example, where we were today on the ridgetop. Mm-hmm. Let's say I thought a buck was bedding there.
Yep.
Like, you know, I'd probably assess the situation and then say to myself, like, all right, okay, that deer's bedding on that ridge. He's probably coming out to this field to feed. Let me see if I can intercept him coming out. Like, I wouldn't go straight to that ridge and, like, mm-hmm. just screw up the spot if I didn't need to.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, why would I, you know?
Right.
But, you know, with that being said, a lot of factors go into that. Time of year, what deer I'm on, how many deer I've seen, if there's any deer I want to kill, like, how... Am I trying to push the envelope? Am I trying to dial back? Like, do I have time? Do I feel like I got breathing room?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that affects my, like, what I'm going to do. You know, I mean, if it's last 2 days of the season and I know where that buck's bedding, well, then there's no way I'm waiting for him. Like, I'm going to go.
You're going to make your move.
So yeah. It's, but I won't do it if I don't have to.
Right.
I've kicked bucks out of their beds and then, you know, scouting with buddies, and they're like, oh, you're going to go in there and kill him off his bed? And I'm like, no, I'm just going to kill him in the evening when he comes out to feed. And they're like, oh, well, why? You got, you know where he's bedding. Why aren't you going? I'm like, well, why would I? Like,
you can totally fuck up that situation really fast.
Yeah, I mean, you can. But I just knew that there was a lower hanging fruit. Like,
right.
That's where it comes down to, too. I think, like, hey, don't overcomplicate things.
Hey, so
like,
what's.
And that's a common thing. People do overcomplicate things, like,
oh,
fast.
Yeah.
They do it
oh,
way
do
too fast.
Yeah. All the time.
I do it. I'm the worst at it.
What, I mean, I do it with a lot of stuff.
What's the earliest you've ever gotten into a tree stand after deer, and what's the latest you've ever gotten into a tree stand and got a deer?
You mean during the season?
Yeah, during the season.
First and last day.
No, or like time-wise.
Oh, sorry. I thought I had like a killer answer, like boom, no, got it.
First and last.
What do you mean like, time-wise? Like how long it took?
Yeah, like, no, like have you ever
like
been
you
like...
sitting in a
like,
stand for 3 minutes?
I'm
and
oh, you're like, oh, you're like, oh
I was,
shit.
I was
like,
confused by that question as well.
Okay, I thought you meant like earliest in the season. And
No. I'm sorry, like earliest in the morning and earliest in the afternoon that you've ever got done. You've ever
like during shooting?
In,
like you're trying to, what are you trying to say?
Like shooting. No, I'm not trying to put you on blast of illegal shit.
So I think the earliest would be like probably, it's a good question. I've never got that exact question. Probably seven. I can't remember if this is before or after time change, but
the time's different every day.
What?
Yeah, but is that what you mean? Like time, like hour wise, like 7, 8, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. You're talking this fucking nonsense, Eric.
I'm confused as fuck by all of this.
So he's I think he's asking, like, okay, let's say you get in the stand and
You've been there an hour.
What is the earliest what is the earliest time of the day that you've killed
that you've
a deer?
Clocked in at a?
Yep.
There you go.
And then the latest time of the day, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Yeah. I would probably say like
this is so fucked up.
6:58 maybe or something like that, right before 7, and then obviously, you know, right at that dusk hour would be like the prime time of the.
I thought he
and
was
that's
saying
right when
like,
you climbed in.
Yeah, I don't know what relevance of the.
I don't understand any.
Okay, now I'm lost.
I don't get it.
When I climbed in.
Yeah, like you were
terrible
running
fucking
late
question.
And you
apparently,
I'm confused. I don't know.
I'm curious,
this question would be way better. Be like, okay, how long?
Oh, you mean like, am I waiting there forever before this deer comes?
No, I'm
like in the stand.
Dude, it's a bad question because
someone out there listening knows exactly what you're trying to ask, and they're screaming at Cody, Eric, and myself.
I've heard Ross talk about. I've heard like
give
Ross,
us an example.
So I've heard Ross Bigger talk about, you know, in November they don't climb into the stand until like 9 o'clock. Well, like in the morning, have you ever been like, ah, shit, I got to get in here by like 2 to, you know, just be settled in.
2 in the morning,
sure,
you're
know,
saying?
Yeah, just 2 in the morning.
Oh, you're saying just like
kick
how Austin
here
Chandler...
for a couple hours.
You're saying this, how Austin Chandler went in after the double dropper. He went in like 2 hours before daylight to get in before that buck made his way back to his bed.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
All right.
That
was way too complicated.
Damn it. Why did I make that more difficult? Yeah, I overcomplicated shit after we just talked about not overcomplicating things. I'm sorry.
You're a lunatic.
My bad.
All right. Yeah, so
I can answer it.
This is actually a good answer. So people give me crap for this all the time. So much like other things, maybe like consumer shows, I'm always just strolling in, man. Just getting there like right in time. I've never entered a stand hours before like on purpose.
Okay.
I've missed daylight savings time once and I was pissed that I was that I was there for 40 minutes in the dark. I was like upset. Now I got buddies who are like, "Okay, I'm getting in there. I will be set. I will like have my bow ready, and then there's exactly 30 minutes before the light comes up, and I got time for it to all rest."
I'm that guy.
I'm the guy that's like literally walking in as it's bright, like, you know, getting in there
shit.
Last minute, and then I only sit for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. But there's something to that, though, because a lot of people walk in as it's getting daylight enough to see through, and I think that is an effective tactic. And I have done it. Walk in when you can see where you're stepping and see what deer are out in a field or like right when daylight's cracking.
Yeah.
But I'm also the guy that I like to get in and be sitting in the dark for a half hour and kind of wait for daylight.
It's probably better to do that.
I love the anticipation of
daylight. It's also better to get to like a consumer show before it starts. But sometimes you just...
that's like every day there. Where's Cody at? We don't know.
Kurt, the day you shot your buck, when I called you on the phone, I called you and the whole thing was like, "Is Steve going to get up?" And I called you. You're like, "What the fuck are you doing?" I'm like, "Dude, I'm like halfway to my property." You're like, "Dude, I'm not even walking out the door yet." I was ready to get in there.
I love that. And I love that feeling of the anticipation and the mystery of what's going to happen once daylight hits. I love like sitting in the dark and hearing things crunch around. Like, oh fuck, is that a deer? I wonder if it's a deer. Come on, daylight, hurry up. I love like that like little kid anticipation feeling. That's my favorite.
I hate that I can't check Instagram during all this shit.
Because it's all bright.
Sucks.
But
it's
I don't
terrible.
Know. Terrible. There's probably some people like that. I've gotten into stands way too early to anticipate a buck moving in right at the crack of daylight to try and be way ahead of him.
Oh, yeah.
To keep – and maybe that's not always the right move.
Whoa. Jeez, that thing got me.
You all right,
you
brother?
You just hit yourself in the face with the mic.
I hope I didn't mess up the audio. I was trying to bring her a little close.
Oh, no, the whole –
it'll be on there.
Cracking it a bunch of times,
did you hit yourself in the face with it?
No, I think it just got my chin a little bit.
Dude.
Just a little bit.
Good thing is your glass jaw, bro.
Yeah.
You got knocked the fuck out. There it is. Look at it. He got slept again.
Here, I'll help you out.
Oh, wait, no, I got it. Wait, it was just – this one needs to be tightened up.
Yes, sir.
Right there. Oh, yeah, right here. There you go. That's good.
Well, let's pause the audio. Brought to you by Lone Wolf Custom Gear.
There it is.
Our stands won't fail like working class bow hunter mic stands will.
There we go.
There's more I wanted to cover, but yeah, I guess the buck bed thing is always an interesting thing, like how close you can get in and spook them. I mean, say you jump a deer off its bed. What's your thought process? Like a mature buck, the one that you want to kill. and you jump him off his bed.
On purpose?
What's that?
On purpose?
No, like accidentally.
Like
you were making a move on him to try in there and get him, and then you hopped, you jumped him up. What's next? What do you do?
Yeah, usually? Typically I kick him up on purpose. But
really?
If it was on accident.
Why would you kick him up on purpose?
To get him out of there.
Okay, so you can get in and make your setup.
Yeah, yeah. Just like I don't want to be like in this weird face off of like standing there with a buck stand looking at me and I'm
knowing what
him
you are. How would you kick him out?
Are you guys fucking around right now? Is this serious?
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's serious. Whoa. So I've taken people in and showed them this and they think I'm crazy, but I've ran at deer before.
Like just no run, shit.
Yeah, I just ran at them. Just
because I think I've never done this before, but if they have time to sit and look at you, they know what you are. But if you're just running full force at them, they're just going to take off.
So you've ran at deer before off his bed or where you think he's sleeping or whatever.
Well, yeah, that'd be like if I strategically go into an area, trying to look for a deer. I'll have that in my mind. Just like when you're looking for sheds, you know, you're scoping out. I'll look for that deer actually bedded up. And if I can see him bedded up, then yes, I will. Now, I'll usually like to be stealthy about it, you know, get the wind in my nose and kind of make sure I'm not busting anything out. But if I can, like, see that deer and, like, get a look, like, with some glass or just with my eye, as for, like, how big he is, like, if I'm just looking for a specific deer, if it's a deer that I know that's a buck I want to capitalize and get in there and hang a stand in his bedroom, well, I gotta get him out of there. Like, how are you supposed to hunt if you leave him in there, you know?
And you think, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm asking this question for our listeners. You think that the run at him scare tactic so you can set up is better than the walk in willy nilly and set up?
No, I mean just not like, you don't have to run, you don't have to walk, you can do whatever you want. You just got to get him out of there. But the main thing is like, I wouldn't pussyfoot around it. Like, he's got to leave. Now,
you wouldn't try and slip in really quiet and set up your stand.
Now, why would I? Oh, like, if I was trying to just hunt the skirt of the bedding area?
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, yeah, then I'd be quiet, of course.
Right. But then why would
then
you?
Then I need my Lone Wolf custom gear setup.
Wait, hold on.
Shameless plug there.
I'm trying to get to the Steve before you ask another dumbass question.
No, okay.
So there's two scenarios here.
Yes. That's where I was going.
Yep. So the one scenario.
Sorry, Steve, I'm kidding.
One scenario, you're literally, like, one scenario would be like, okay, I got the stand on my back. I'm looking for a deer, like, I'm hunting. I have the intention to actually hang a stand and hunt. If I spot a deer that's bedded up and I think I can toss a stand up.
I'm saying you know that deer's there. You know where he beds. You think you know.
Oh, okay. Then typically what I would do, what I would do is I would go in there, I would bump him off that bed, set a stand up, leave. Then I would go hunt the evening where I thought he would be at, where I bumped him to.
Where he'd
then
be coming back to bed or something?
No. Then I'd hunt him in the morning where I bumped him off.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's...
catch him coming back to bed.
Well, Dad used to do a lot of actual, like the bump and dump, you know,
oh, damn. This is a new t-shirt right now. It's a new t-shirt.
Well,
is that like taking a shit off a stand?
Well, that's something that he kind of coined back in the day that everybody was like, what?
Okay, explain that then.
Oh, you've never heard of it?
Well, no. I do, but I have heard of it, I think, but I want you to explain it.
Yeah, so the bump and dump is I don't know who actually coined
it.
I don't know who actually coined the phrase. It might have been Dad that actually did, but it was an old way of hunting that he killed big deer back in the day that people thought was just crazy. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, this is before any of this, like, all this stuff, any of these new guys who were in it, he was doing this back in the day, he'd literally find a buck, bump him off of his bedding area, set up, and dump him. He'd kill him coming back to bed. So that was the theory. People went crazy. Oh, no way, no, they never believed it until they started seeing it on film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that has been a thing to where he traditionally would bump that deer, and deer have different temperaments, but then he would set up and wait for him to come back.
Okay.
Because typically a buck's got that area he feels safe in. Me, I don't do that. I bump him out forcefully. I believe there's an A pattern and there's a B pattern,
mm-hmm.
And I believe every time a buck that has a A pattern gets bumped off that A pattern, he goes to his B pattern.
Oh.
And then we'll ultimately resort back to his A pattern. That's the way I look at things.
Gotcha.
So
after, say, a buck does do that, do you have any experience where a buck hops to the B pattern? How long?
Just the remainder of that day.
Okay, so it might not be like 3-4 days, you think?
Depending on temperament of the buck.
Okay.
So, I mean, you get a buck that's – you can tell a real aggressive buck from a non-aggressive buck. But, you know, let's say you got a buck that, like, you get in there and he's – you can hear him breaking shit because he hears you.
Right. You know, pissed him off because you're in his spot.
Yeah, those are the deer that you can just bump and dump straight up.
Yeah.
Like, you can literally kick those deer off their bed, and then if you stood there just next to a tree for a couple hours, that deer would probably come back.
He's coming right back.
And is the mindset there that spot where he's sitting, saw you come in, and it kept him alive, it's effective there,
yeah,
so he's coming
yeah.
back?
Yeah, I mean, so if you look at it, and you know, and this is where people overthink things, all these deer are doing something. They're doing what they're doing for a reason. Mm-hmm. If you really think about it, so the biggest, you know, it's finding these deer. It's manipulating their pet the way we hunt is, you know, finding these deer, you know, you're not waiting for them. You're trying to manipulate their daily routine or pattern that you are trying to figure out. So if, you know, I always, you know, eager early on in my career, eager to like do the bump and dump to kind of like be like the old man, I developed a system that was different to where I wasn't having luck like that. Mm-hmm. And then I started, you know, kind of correlating and making these observations that, like, you know, I mean, you can get a very dominant temperament buck, but most bucks, and like that's where we talk about the age class. So, yeah, maybe if you got a 9-year-old buck that you bump off his bed, he might be a little bit more prone to be like, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't give a shit how old he is. So, I mean, I'm literally, you know, if I bump a 2.5-year-old buck off his bed and I want to shoot him, if he's got the horns on his head, you know, and I'm like, okay, oh, that's a really great deer. He trips my trigger like you guys talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I think 80% of deer have a B pattern. Shit, they might even have a C pattern. I don't know. But
it makes sense. It makes sense that they would.
And that's something that, you know, that I've believed since early on and that I don't, you know, so, and I've...
Man, I love that, actually. That's...
I kill...
That's some deep shit there, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to stick with me.
And I kill a lot of... You know, I use that revert in patterns to kill those deer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know if you'd call it a bump and dump. I think it was time to recoin a new phrase, you know? I mean...
Let's do it right here.
But,
I thought you fuckers were fucking with me until you really started going into it.
No,
dude,
no.
Why do you think I kept talking about it?
Because I was like, dude, you guys were in the car. You're like, dude, we're going to totally fuck with Steve. Eric was in on it. We're talking about bumping fucking bucks and killing them. Dude, that's some insane shit.
You know what
would
be wild? This would be like, you know how deer do what they do, is if you bumped a deer purposely off his A pattern, had a setup already for his B pattern, went and killed him on his B pattern the next day.
No, that's happened first day. So I've literally done that. So now
Kurt thought he was onto something new.
I did, man.
No. See, that's the great thing about the system. So I mean, I'm not saying like, so you know, a lot of people, oh, you bumped that deer, why aren't you hunting there tonight? Well, like, I'm just gonna let it be. I think that deer is gonna be on his, and I take a lot of stuff into account. When I go in there, I'm looking at the area. Is it tore up? Is it not? Like, what kind of sign is this deer making? Like, how old do I think he was? I mean, is he a pissed off deer? I mean, have right. I seen him before? What kind of temperament did he have when I seen him before?
But remember, it's all part of the formula.
When you were talking about the deer, remember specific scents. Do you take that into consideration?
Of like, course. That's like, why you want to get in there.
You want to set up before that, because if that deer smells you a second time where you think that he's like, oh,
well,
I
now,
remember this.
Let him now remember. Whether he smelled me or not this time, this is different. I think when they smell you in a hunting scenario and they bust you, they crack you, that is different than when you're a passerby and they averted danger.
It's completely different. It's more of a threat if they smell you while you're hunting them rather than if you bump on the way in. What do you got to do?
Did anyone
What's
pick
he doing?
That up?
I have no idea.
He's
Cody, leaving. He just left.
This Cody DeQuisto break is brought to you by Lone Wolf Custom Gear hats and shirts and hoodies. Be sure to go to lonewolfcustomgear.com. Get all your hats, hoodies, and t-shirt needs. They fit comfortably, and you will be killing big deer immediately.
You seem pretty drunk right now, and I'm looking over at your table and all the beers in front of you, and I would say that's accurate.
Those are
Eric's. I have two empties in front of me, and Steve has a lot
Eric
more.
Eric keeps pushing his beers over my...
that's not
right?
A fact.
Sorry about that.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Promise?
Except for the fact that I got my glasses
stuck in
there,
your hair.
So I'm going to leave them up there. Anyway, yeah, so as far as that goes, I don't know if I was talking about the B pattern or the A pattern, but...
Well, and then Steve brought up a point and somehow tied it back in.
About smelling. I think there's two different types of getting busted.
There
so,
you go. Yeah, that was it.
But with that being said, you want to capitalize on that area before that deer gets back there and realizes somebody's been tampering around. And then, you know, then he might be forced to relocate.
permanently onto a bee pattern, possibly.
Right, because I'm guilty of this too, and I made it work this year for me too with the my 10 pointer I killed. But in past years, I bumped a buck in a certain area and then moved a stand there and then backed out and been like, well, I gotta let him settle down, and then yeah. I'll go back in and kill him. When probably what I should have done is went right in after him and stayed persistent on that, because he would maybe.
How do you
maybe have came back?
How do you find that B and C pattern? What? How do you personally do it?
So that's going to go with just kind of a general observation. Like, so at first, I'm going to look at a property and kind of just assess where I think deer would be bedded and feeding. If it's like goes down to a deer, like okay, so I found where he's bedding. Kind of kick him out, and now I'm looking, you know, so obviously I'm going to judge where he went. I'm going to judge what's around, where I think that deer is going to end up at night. And then that's where I'm essentially buying time to hit my ambush, you know, in the morning. Mm-hmm. And sometimes buying that time, you know, lets you know what's going on. That's the beauty of it. So it's kind of a foolproof, I wouldn't say foolproof, but definitely a good route to take to figure out what that buck's, you know, ultimately wanting to do in the evening, mm-hmm. or wanting to gravitate back toward.
Right.
You know, and that's where too, you know, now this is, these aren't bucks that are cruising for does. These aren't bucks that are getting all, you know, I mean, that's why.
Those are kind of bucks cruising for does are essentially unpatternable.
I mean, yeah.
Besides the pinch point type.
To a point.
Terrain feature.
You can generalize, you can generalize
patternable if you know where does are doing
exactly what a deer is doing, but ultimately the females are gonna control mm-hmm. all that. I mean, it's just don't even get me started on November, man.
And this is why, and I'll probably say this for you, and if I'm wrong, tell me. This is probably why you prefer less of the rut hunting and prefer more of that technical chess game hunting that you get in that mid late October or even early first week of season. Even
it's probably more exciting,
and that's the thing. Like I'm such a I think a routine individual. So you know I like things a certain way. I think things happen for a certain reason. I correlate cause and reaction and stuff like that. So I like looking at a situation and thinking like, okay, all right, these animals are living right here, you know. All right, where's the biggest one of them, and how do I beat him at his game? What he's mm-hmm. doing every day, and I look at it as like this, you know. So this is the pursuit, right? In November, it's like it'd be like somebody taking my daily routine and just fucking throwing it up in the air, and then just hey, you're not going to go to the gym first thing in the morning. You're going to go at 9 tonight,
right?
That's what it's like to me. So I'm thinking like, oh man, like what are these? To whereas you can. Yes, deer are running all over. I don't like that because then I find myself just literally sitting in the woods, to sit in the woods. Oh, let me just find a good pinch and sit here.
And you're just waiting.
You know, I'm trying to overanalyze like, oh, okay, well, like this, you know, this doe will be running here, but then a buck starts pushing her. So and
you're definitely not an all-day sit guy just to sit all day.
I've never sat all day.
I've never have either.
I think the longest I've ever sat in a tree stand at one time
makes it feel better.
Probably 4.5 hours.
I've sat for a long time. I've sat for a lot longer than
I think I've done two all days and they're fucking terrible.
Dude, they're rough, man.
Think people think...
Well, I can't say that. Never mind. I've never done it.
Well, I've sat for a long time, and I've sat in the morning, and I've got down for an hour, ate a quick lunch, and went right back out in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, yeah. That's you get moving.
I do a lot of that, or get down, make a move, hang a set, get in it, hunt. But I think a lot of guys fall short where they say, well, I'm going to hunt all day because that's the grind, and I'm going to hunt all day, but they're just sitting all day without a game plan to have a buck move by them. They're just sitting all day to say, I sat all fucking day.
Didn't see
and
shit.
And that's it.
That's the biggest thing, you know. It's like, okay, so, you know, you talk, or that's where the classic quality over quantity. I mean, so if, you know, there's been times where I got in a stand and I'm like, dude, this, I'm thinking to myself, man, this spot sucks. Or like,
you don't feel good about it.
Well, yeah, maybe like if I was just running late and I needed to jump into the woods or you know, just to try and capitalize on that. And then I end up just leaving because I just don't feel confident about the spot. And if you're not in the right spot, well then,
what are you even doing?
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's definitely better to try and put yourself in those better areas. And you know, if you're seeing deer, then sit all day. But like,
people that are sitting all day and not seeing a damn deer, I don't know. I couldn't do that. I think I'm just wired differently. I can't sit still that long.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like a weird, like, fidgety type person, but
mm-hmm.
I need to, like, go try and make it happen. Like, be proactive about it.
And that's a, I mean, that's a proven way of success.
But I miss out on a lot of deer like that too. Like, mm-hmm. I looked, somebody told me, like, this statistic of, like, bucks over a certain size are shy, like, in November, like, between, you know, in between the hours of 11 and, mm-hmm. and 1.
Yeah.
Or 11 and 2 or something. And, like, dude, I've probably hunted between 11 and 2, like, twice in my life.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, I just,
Our buddy Ross Bigger, which you've met, Ross, he does a lot of that going at 10 o'clock and sit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And dude, that's been, like, awesome in November. People are killing.
So are you more of a morning guy or afternoon guy?
Morning.
Well, but what you said, though, your style of hunting that you prefer is trying to get on a buck and pattern him and do that chest move doesn't really apply to that.
To November.
10 to 2.
No, it doesn't. No,
you know, it's different.
It doesn't.
You know, it's a different type of thing. That's how you prefer to hunt. That's how you get after it. Dang, Steve's taking a pee break. He slid through there.
I broke the seal, dude. My bad.
He slithered.
So it doesn't really apply to, like, what you already said that you do. So that just right there proves why you do is what you do. I personally feel like I missed out on the morning hunt if I don't go out first thing. Like, I feel like I just, like, missed out on some prime time hunting. Uh-huh. And I like all types of season because anything can happen. But, mm-hmm. man, I do like the rut. I really do.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It's a cool time to be in the woods.
And I love the randomness.
And cool shit happens.
Well, yeah. I just love to see the deer do crazy shit, like...
And I love the crisp feeling of just a sunny, crisp, cold November morning. It's just
like that buck this year, that it was like November, I can't remember the date, but he came in just snort wheezing. It was one of those cold, crisp mornings, and you can just see the breath coming off his nose into the
snot awesome.
And all the other shit. It was fucking cool.
That is really cool.
Dude, I once seen like an old, mature, like 130-inch, like just... like bully rag, like old bastard.
Like my 8.5-year-old?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
I seen him, like, single-handedly fight off, like, four, like, 130 to 145-inch, like younger bucks that were coming in for his doe.
Right.
Dude, it was the coolest thing, man. Like, he squared up on him, like just and just went after everyone, like, was charging this way, charging that way, and, like, they all were, it was awesome. Nuts, man. Like,
just the shit you can see out there, man, is insane.
It is crazy to think that, like, you know, this, you know, you have this animal, right, put on earth, right, and they're given these beautiful racks, like these antlers that they grow every year, that get bigger every year and more badass every year, just to fight, to breed.
Yeah,
like it's
all
around wild,
the
man.
Female,
yeah,
just everything.
Well, and the crazy thing is, a few weeks later, they're buddy and they're all hanging out together again.
It's like,
well,
sup, bro? Good to see you again.
Yeah, yeah. I just kicked your ass last week, but what's up?
Yeah,
it's one of those. Yeah. It's just, it is wild, man. It's crazy.
It's cool, man, and nothing. And we've talked about this before, but when you see a heavy, matured-bodied buck and he comes in, walks in a certain way, it just gives you that certain feel. Like, my buck I shot last year came in with no agenda, just doing big buck things. And he went, I don't know how I mean, really, though, he wasn't cruising. He was kind of just walking 10 yards, stopping and looking around and watching how that deer move through the woods naturally without a big agenda, without being bumped through.
He didn't have a registry either.
He's just cruising.
Him doing his thing, watching a big buck move through the woods, a big mature buck do big buck things versus a doe doing doe things, you would swear they are different species.
Oh, for sure.
Like, to watch a big buck walk and how he analyzes things in front of him, and then he'll groom himself and then analyze again. Then, okay, everything's clear. Walk 15 more yards, stop, and analyze. Like, he was just doing... I'm just chilling, doing my thing, mm-hmm. not trying to get from point A to point B. It was a really cool learning experience.
That's how the 8.5-year-old was. I mean, he just came in real slow and not taking his time doing his shit.
Yeah.
He was still checking around, because you remember when Mark Drury told us that nervous deer...
Stay alive, man.
Nervous deer stay alive. It's like...
Well, shit, that's dude. Like, you know, even... Yeah, that old buck has a different way about him, but there's no more stealthy being than that alpha doe.
Oh, oh yeah, geez. That's true. Whoa. Cody's fucking
even
with the mic.
I don't know
mics.
What happened there. Yeah. Am I still on? Am I still on?
Must be made by some knockoff tree stand company. That,
dude, that Alpha Doe, man. Like, that's... You got
that bitch.
That's her job.
Mm-hmm. That's
her
Doris, job man.
Protect the herd,
Doris.
Man.
That's Doris.
Did you see that doe
keep
that...
Keep the alive.
How... Did you get your teeth back from that doe yet?
Yeah, 2.5.
Not yet.
Two and a half. She had a condition.
She had an issue. She's wearing a helmet. Condition.
She was eating rocks.
Yeah. Now, I don't have the teeth back yet. I'm guessing she's 10, though.
Yeah, Kurt shot a monster nanny. That's what I thought, dude. Instead of, like, monster bucks, dude, you shoot monster nannies.
Dude, it's funny you say that. Funny you say that. Because, so I had this thought the other year. There was this basket rack velvet buck running around, right?
Just and never, like...
Yeah, he must have got his nuts injured or something, so he was in velvet.
Velvet all the time?
Yeah, my wife actually shot a nice like 140-inch velvet buck a couple years ago that must have got his nuts caught in a fence or something, but apparently when they grow a rack and something happens to their balls or whatever, their testosterone production or something, it's like they just never lose that rack or nothing ever happens with that one rack.
Wild.
I heard that.
So that was cool. So, but anyway, I seen that and it was like a basket rack and it had like a tiny little like drop, must have been an issue in the velvet.
Right.
And I started thinking to myself, I'm like, what if everybody started hunting smaller, like tiny deer? Like how hard would it be to pinpoint that? You know what I'm saying? Like if I told myself like to Steve's point, like I literally was sitting in the stand and I was thinking, I was like, if I told myself like, all right, Cody, you got to kill that little velvet basket rack. Like, could you do
like
it?
Like, every year?
Like, could no, like that year, like, hey, could you go find that tiny... Like,
that's a one-year pinpoint.
I bet,
that
I bet you would be...
Smoking monster
be
basket
tough.
Racks.
Don't hold me to this. I bet you'd be almost as difficult. Sometimes.
It'd be more difficult.
Sometimes.
It would be more difficult all the time.
Fuckers, yeah.
That's the ultimate challenge, shooting monster button bugs.
Dude, there was a doe on my property this year that had, like, the most beautiful double throat patch. And I was I want to shoot that doe and mount her because I've always wanted a doe mount, but it has to be a double throat patch. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'll see her like doe patterns. Like
dude,
they normally do the same thing.
Like a ghost.
I've never seen it.
And try and pick out the sign from one doe.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do it.
Good luck.
That's like Q-tip this year.
Dude,
what is Q-tip?
Yeah, that's a good point. Trying to pick out the sign from one doe. They don't leave rubs. Dude, that's a new big buck is double throat patch does.
Or a basket rack velvet buck with a drop time.
Right? What's Q-tip?
That piebald deer I had this year.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck.
His whole face was white, wasn't it?
His whole face and about a third down his neck was all white, but the rest of him just like regular colored.
Oh, but he wasn't a big everything. Buck, right?
No, he's like 130 inches probably. But
oh, that'd be the coolest thing ever.
Never got him on camera, and I seen him twice, right out in the middle of the field.
They're smoking.
Oh, dude.
Middle of a picked bean
field. Is he still alive?
I don't know. Oh, I don't have a single picture of
dude,
him.
You got to kill him next year. You got to get on
him. Oh, for sure.
If someone would have shot him, you would know about it. Maybe not, but...
Not that area, no.
No, not them poachers. Them poachers aren't too keen to put picks up.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. To go back to our roots, we used to do a rapid-fire question segment on the show.
Yes.
And they're just like, we throw a question at you. You give us an answer if you can't. If you need to elaborate, this is episode 300. We got the time. You can elaborate on it. But if you know, quick one-word answer if possible, but feel free to elaborate.
We should call this the Irving list.
Yeah. Hey, dude, what would be your last meal if you were about to die? I'm like, what?
Well, I didn't know if it was starting. I'm like,
all right, it's starting out. Cody.
What if I plead the fifth?
Cody.
Fifth.
Who's your favorite pro wrestler?
One, two, three, pass.
Nope. Who's your pro wrestler of all time?
Do I got to go fast?
Yeah.
Favorite. I got to say Stone Cold.
You don't have to go fast.
I got to say Stone Cold.
Go ahead. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't read the questions either.
What's your favorite camo pattern?
Do I have to pick a camo pattern?
No, you can say whatever.
Oh, flannel?
Okay.
Damn, you and Jared Scheffler.
What's your favorite movie?
Goodfellas.
Is this supposed to be fast, or can I take
No, you can say however.
Oh, okay. All right.
Time, bro.
No,
yeah, relax, right.
Favorite
man.
Movie. Shit, gun to the head. Favorite movie.
Gun to the head.
The gun to the head segment.
Dude, this is tough, man.
He's loading.
What's that movie with DiCaprio and everything is like, not what's going on. Was it Inception?
Inception.
Oh, yeah.
What's the red ball?
I'm going to go Inception.
I know that movie, actually. Yeah. Last song you played?
Like on the radio?
Yeah, whatever one you played.
iPod,
like
Apple Music?
You played. Yeah, you played it from your iPod.
I think John Moreland, 3:59 a.m. That was the last song that I played.
Who?
John Moreland.
Who's that?
An artist.
Never heard of him.
Google him.
All right, I'll check him out. Last song that was on your Xanga page as your background.
MySpace.
I know that. Hillbilly Stomp, Kid Rock.
Oh, Hillbilly Stomp.
Who's your favorite band? I'm glad these are challenging.
Why are these so stumping you?
They're very simple questions.
Yeah, I know. And I just told us about
Bump and Dump for fucking 35 minutes.
I like such an array of music.
One of your favorite bands.
One of my favorite bands would be
Nickelback.
No. They wouldn't make it up there.
That's a slam dunk.
The White Buffalo. That'll be one.
Okay.
I've heard of them.
Your favorite outdoor magazine?
I don't read outdoor magazines.
Okay. Your favorite bow brand currently?
I'm going to have to go Darton just because I shot a Darton when I was young all the way up until... I think the only other bow that I've ever shot other than a Darton was an Obsession, and I liked it, but I'm not a bow connoisseur. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Backstrap or jerky?
Jerky made with backstrap.
Ooh. Double down. Loophole. Your favorite outdoor related show, if you even watch them?
Last Man Standing for sure. That's outdoor related, isn't it?
Fuck yeah, it is.
Dude, yeah,
the show's hilarious.
Fuck yeah, it is.
The show's hilarious.
Dude, fuck yeah, it is. Thank you, Eric. Dude, I would love if there's a game show. Like, can we accept that answer?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, you can. Are you fucking
just right, doing hammered and glory.
30 seconds on the clock.
Is a new vowel. We're accepting that.
That was the best answer for that one.
Fuck yeah.
I do love that show. He manages a knockoff Bass Pro or something.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Outdoor
yeah.
Man.
What the fuck?
Outdoor Man, yeah. Your favorite podcast, hunting or non-hunting podcast?
You don't listen to them. It's got to be Working Class Bowhunter because it's the only one that I've ever actually listened to.
Savage.
Sick. So I gotta do that.
Right, and we're partners, so you have to say.
And I have to.
ask me what my favorite tree stand is, and I'd tell you Lone Wolf Custom Gear.
X-Stand.
Never even used
X-Stand.
One.
X-Stand, yeah.
Walmart.
I hate to tell you, but it's fucking... Oh, they're not even a thing anymore.
Big
the
Dog.
Mad Dog. Big Dog.
Big Dog. Big Dog. They're still a thing. They're still
a
thing.
No, they're Sniper. S-N-I-P-E-R, dude. They're done.
This is a good one. I'm going to ask this just to be an asshole, but we normally ask this to like make people feel awkward. Who's your favorite podcast host?
Out of all three?
Yeah.
So you guys are all three hosts?
Yeah. We used to tally points up. We used to do this all the time.
Man, you all have, this is where it gets tough. You all have your specific qualities.
Yes.
So good or bad.
If it wasn't for...
Are you going to break this down for us right now? Because that would be kind
of
weird.
Steve, you should. So
because of that, Eric, you're out. So now we got two.
All right, come on.
God damn.
Did you guys shoot the fucking dominant buck or the fucking nine-year-old basket rack? Which one are you going to shoot?
Just because of the awkward infatuation with wrestling, I got to go with Kurt.
Yes.
I thought you were going to pick Steve on that one. You switched around.
Dude, he went the fucking the B route.
Yeah. He went the B
Steve
route.
Steve bumped him off the A.
bumped him off the
A plan. Where are we at here? Morning or afternoon hunts?
Morning.
Typical or non-typical deer?
Typical.
Ooh. This is on the list, so I'm going to ask it. Hang on or ladder stands?
Ladder stand.
All day long.
Hang on for sure.
Besides whitetails, what's your absolute dream hunt?
What would I love to hunt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have you ever been on any other hunts?
No.
Holy shit.
Let's see. What would I like to hunt? For some reason, I would like to kill a moose.
Yeah, I'm on board.
You and Austin, go up wherever the hell he's going.
You have no interest in going to hunt another... Like species, or is it just whitetails your thing?
Whitetails just always been my thing, man. Nothing drives me like that. And there's been opportunities where if I had a little extra cash or I had a connection to go do a different hunt, like maybe like a mule deer, blacktail, I'd always just end up going to another state for whitetail. Like I'd just rather hunt whitetail.
Right.
With that being said, I would like to experience elk hunting, run and gunning kind of with the bow for elk. But like just something off the wall that I just thought would be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's hard or fucking or what it is, or I don't know if it's actually
I know a couple guys who go up and they get them when they're getting pretty squirrely, and they're kind of just like stumbling around at that point, so you got to find them. But I think it'd be cool. I don't know. I kind of like like a moose, like a big, huge.
Dude, yeah.
Killing elk out of a
Chandler, Austin Chandler and Ross Bigger just booked their moose hunt for 2021.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. Nice. Yeah, he was telling me that.
But we got the Western hookup. Our boys from Buckstorm will take care of all of us. We got to go out. So where are we at?
For sure.
Hey. Your favorite restaurant.
There we go.
Dude, Bel Air Cantina for sure, man. I'm a taco guy.
Mm.
And they got a couple spots in Milwaukee where I'm from.
I've never had it.
Yeah.
Are me and Kirk getting tattooed up there? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Kirk's got to get a tattoo.
Kirk needs a tattoo.
What's your favorite tree stand snack?
Tacos.
I don't. Yeah,
tacos.
Tacos from Bel Air Cantina. Leftover, dude. Grab them up.
Have you ever taken tacos to the stand with you?
Oh fuck. No. No.
It's funny. I think I've probably only ate something in a tree stand. Three times.
Three times a lady, bro.
I very seldomly will snack in a tree stand. I will say this. Never bring a bag of M&M's into your tree stand. That is the worst tree stand snack, dude. I brought a bag of M&M's in there this year because I was like, just man, I was famished, and I seen this pack of M&M's at the gas station,
and you're like, I need to have those,
dude. I was like, oh, I want to get me those, and I'm gonna chill with them up in the stand. And I'm gonna eat them, you know. And I got them there, and I reached in to grab them out of my pack, and it was like the loudest, most obnoxious crunch, and I just didn't even touch them after
that. Hey, rapid fire. How the fuck do you go 3 hours without eating?
Is that weird?
For Steve to me, it is.
If you had to pick one superhero power, what would it be? And
fly or invincible or something.
So what about like a Wolverine where he's got the healing and he's got like these blades that come out of his hand?
No,
that's acceptable.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna throw a curveball though. That is not what I would pick. Okay. It would be like the Nightcrawler dude from X-Men for sure.
Oh, I don't know that one. I don't know what's his power.
He like can like teleport sort of like through time.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like, yeah, it's pretty wild.
He'd wake up actually, at 9 a.m.
I want to change that. I'm going to change that to Gambit for sure.
What's cards, that? Man. Oh, he throws a card?
Fuck people up with playing cards, man. Yeah,
like, and beat the shit out of him with a stick.
What does he do? We're all
and
talking about
it. He's killer with a bow staff, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Ultimate bow staff capabilities, and he's like, he controls cards in some like crazy way.
Hey, did you play X-Men on Super Nintendo?
That was probably the last video game I ever played.
Dude, that motherfucker throwing them cards, dude, I used to whoop everybody's ass.
Yep.
It was game over,
Is that
dude.
The one with, like, where it was on, like, the side of the fire escapes?
No, it was, like, it was Mortal Kombat, but with X-Men. Yeah.
Wasn't there in the alley setting and stuff?
Oh, yeah, I was Gambit, dude. I beat the shit out of everybody.
Gambit.
Fixed or mechanical broadheads?
Fixed.
Face paint or face mask? Or neither.
So I came up with a face mask, went to face paint, but I do neither now. I do an extremely large hood.
Like a
goddamn
Reaper?
Assassin's Creed hood.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So you like it.
Yeah, that's the first time we've had that answer.
Yeah, yeah, nobody. I've never seen anybody actually doing it, so I'm going to coin that right now.
The Grim Reaper,
the giant hood.
Hey, it's kind of like the comb over fashion haircut.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty. You know, you're hiding under that hood, and then when you reveal what's under there, you got the sweet.
That's how I knew we loved you when we didn't know. Like, I was like, man, Cody seems like a cool dude. You know what? Maybe I offended, but like when you start talking about the comb over mullet, I was like, oh, this dude's good shit. Dude.
Would you rather share a bed in camp with Steve or sleep inside a VW Beetle during
what
honey
kind
camp?
Of bullshit is that? All right,
you wrote
that.
This.
Was that new? Is that new?
How big is the bed?
It's a twin.
It's a twin?
Yeah.
It's a full size.
What year Volkswagen?
72.
It ain't got heat, bro.
Oh, that motherfucker.
It ain't got heat.
That ain't got no folding down seats. I'd take the bed for sure.
Man, I'm glad.
All right. To finish these sentence. During the off season, my favorite thing to do is blank.
Watch wrestling.
Okay. When I'm bored in the tree stand, I like to blank.
Watch wrestling.
Dang, found the loopholes.
Damn it.
Man, Cody, thank you so much for being on episode 300. We appreciate you. Is there anything that you would like to talk about before this show is over?
I mean, it's over after 300. Don't worry about it.
You put me on the spot.
I would ask Steve first, but I don't feel like listening to his bullshit he's going to bring up.
I gotta skip this one. Yeah, come back to me if there's anything said. But other than that, man, I don't know. I had a good time. I had a good time bullshitting.
Yeah, man. Glad you were able to finally make it to the studio. We appreciate your partnership, man. We're looking forward to the future.
Yeah, me too, man. I look forward to getting back with you guys and getting on some more episodes and doing some custom work.
Yeah, dude. We're right here. You can come over to the studio anytime. You can have your own series on the show if you'd like. That's how exclusive it is.
Damn.
Steve, dare I ask, what the fuck do you want to add to this episode, sir, before it ends? Any positive words of encouragement or good advice you can give or just you know, just bless us with your...
Should we just skip him?
Eric, what's up, man?
No, I just want to say thanks to all the listeners and shit for... being with us for
all
300
the listeners and shit.
Let for 300 finish. For 300 episodes, man. That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's quite the accomplishment. I think.
I think so too, man. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, dude. Man, we just got off of the trade show season. What?
Nothing, dude.
You got anything to say?
No, that's
okay. We're listening. Just continue. God damn it!
Just got off the trade show season, dude. Got to talk to some amazing people. 300 episodes in, and I still cannot control my drinking, but people still tune in, so please continue to tune in to watch my life spiral out of control while your life is getting better.
Dude, you suck.
Dang,
I know. I'm just
actually, I like that, though.
Yeah, I like that because your life sucks, and mine keeps getting better.
I have to say, kind of bouncing off what Eric said, thank you all for all the support for 300 episodes. That's absolutely insane. The trade show season this year was kind of mind-blowing when people... say, hey, I found your show, and I went back and started from one and listened to all of them, is mind-blowing to me. And 2019 so far has been, I mean, obviously the best year of podcast we've ever had. Things since January have they've doubled in growth almost for us, and we have some huge things on the horizon, and we are full speed ahead. So be ready for new things. We're going to keep trying to lay down the path for outdoor podcasting in a comfortable fashion and just stay true to ourselves as best as possible. And we fucking love you. Thanks for listening. Go shoot your fucking bow.